Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
You make songs that are really good and people like them, and then they give you cats.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's a song. Carrie.
Everything's a song.
And you take a look around you.
Take a look around you.
Hit it, Josh. Hit again. Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Luke.
This is Carrie.
And
this is Josh.
And Ken.
And Susan.
And you're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Episode 51. And today is a date.
It is October 16th, 2011.
Yay. Although this might not post for a day or two later than that. But anyway, we literally just got on the road after Con and the Cob. And to kill time in the car, we're going to record a segment for the podcast.
And he's making me turn my neck a lot.
Well,
I don't get to enjoy my time in shotgun. Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Luke. We're actually pretty happy about that back here in the back seat.
I could just put it here, and it'll be near your mouth, and people will hear it. I'm going to run it through.
Can I put it here?
Okay. All right. So, 2 years ago, in episode 4 of Bad Rapport, I had just done the Luke Ski Top 50 in 2009, and we were over at Matt's house, and we had a discussion on the results. So now I have the results of the Luke Ski Top 50 for 2011, and we have 4 out of the 5 people in the vehicle. So I figured
of the same people that were there on episode 4.
Yes. So I figured I might as well break it down for you guys, and you can give me your feedback and stuff, or thoughts or comments. So anyway, I won't read down the entire list here, but I'll read.
And build
at least
from the top down or the bottom up.
I'll start at number 12 and work my way up to the top.
Okay.
Number 12, Marvel Poppins.
Yay.
So, I'm very happy because that came out shortly after Too Much Stuff, the album, came out. So it's the oldest of the new material that's on the list. So, number 11, A Man Named Jane. Number 10, The Ballad of Optimus Prime. Number 9, What's Up Spock? Number 8, House Party at Arkham Asylum. Number 7, It's a Fanboy Christmas. And number 6, Insane and the Brain. Now, I think numbers 11 through 7 or something to that effect may have been like a tie amongst all of them, so I had to kind of pick. I didn't vote on the thing myself so that I could be the one who picked how ties were going to place. So that was the placement of those. I'm very happy about this one. Number 5, Snoopy the Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
So I'm so happy that I've made a song that holds up to my early most popular work. That makes me so super happy that it's number 5.
Indeed.
Number 4, Fanboy. Number 3, Grease Wars. What?
Number 3? Really?
Wow.
Apparently so. Because in an upset, number 2, You Don't Know Jack.
Well,
and number 1, Stealing Like a Hobbit, remains number 1.
Wow.
For the third time in a row that I've done the top 50 in the
You Don't Know Jack
years.
Is more beloved than Grease Wars?
That doesn't sound right. Time.
Grease Wars was number 2.
Is it possible that his new Pirates movie?
I don't know.
Wasn't there probably one back then, too?
Now, first off, am I correct that for both Fanboy Christmas, it was, I know when Spock was out all versions, right?
Yeah, I made sure this time to specify that if when I put up What's Up Spock, even though it was listed under Carpe Dementia, I made sure to specify, vote for this one if you are in, for every, it's representative of every version of What's Up Spock. If you like What's Up Spock, vote here. It doesn't specifically mean the Deep Space 99 remix, versus other versions. It just means What's Up Spock in general. And I also listed that for Fanboy, for Godwin to Knock You Out. I think for You Might Be a Trekkie, just to make sure people knew, here's where you vote for that song. Because I didn't specify that in other years, and that's why What's Up Spock always seem to languish at the bottom of the list. So finally, it's up at number 9 where it should be instead of somewhere, you know, in the middle or the bottom of the list. So once again, it's interesting that from number 16 to number 1, only 2 of them are Fump songs. And oddly enough, they're both from my newest album. After that, it gets pretty Fump-tastical. But overall, with the top 50, 23 of them are Fump tracks. 3 of them had updated versions posted at the Fump. And I'm very, very happy. 9 songs from Be Amused By Me made the top 50.
Cool.
So, I also, for the sake of having accurate information for this specific discussion we're having right now, I figured out numbers 51 through 100.
Okay.
And it wouldn't... And the other cool thing about that is that all of the songs from Be Amused By Me made the top 100.
Wow.
So the lowest ranking one was All You Can Tweet, which was number 91. So so overall, it means that Be Amused By Me was a pretty well-received album
yeah,
by the public. So, okay, here's notes I made for the podcast. I decided, even though I've included it in the past, I decided this time around to eliminate the Chainsaw Juggler from The Running because it's a cover version that I didn't write.
Yeah.
If I had included it, it would have been at about number 23 and a half. Only one song of all of the songs you could click on to vote for, only one song got 0 votes.
Which was?
Jacoby from What a Rip Off Volume 2.
Wow.
The song that, you know, is... If it had come out when I wrote it, back when I wrote the script for the Ray TV sketch comedy album in the year 2000, I think it might have gained the kind of love that Keanu Man got when I released that, because I wrote those two songs together.
So even Fruit Loops got a vote.
Yes. Everything got at least one vote except for that song.
So, wow.
In fact, I might want to play it. Did we play it on Bad Rapport? I don't think we played Jacoby on Bad Rapport.
We didn't. We talked about it on Bad Rapport.
If we have not played Jacoby on Bad Rapport, then maybe I'll slip it into this episode.
Okay, I thought we did.
Okay. I know we played Phantom Dazzle for sure. I remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Everybody Get Lost was number 99. It got 5 votes, and not... I mean, I don't want to be bitchy McBitcherton, but I want someone to explain to me what was wrong with that song. In my opinion, it was a kick-ass tour de force. You know, it should have been my big hit of 2009 when I put it out in January of 2009. But instead of it being my biggest hit, nobody gave a flying fuck about that song. And I'm so annoyed because it was...
Well, I don't watch Lost, so...
It was like the end of the third season of Lost. And, you know, then you fast forward to 3 years later when the show comes to an end. Chris does Lost About My Lost, and it ends up on the Funny 25, and it's like, so what, I just put out the song too early? You know?
His was a better song.
I disagree.
Okay, well...
I love Chris, but I think Everybody Get Lost is a better song than his or any other Lost song I've ever heard, which is probably about it. Bring the Joy was number 82. It got 9 votes, and I'm only mentioning it because it's a song that I wish got more love. It's just a kind of a personal favorite of mine.
Where did Getting Giggity With It rank?
Hold on.
Did it make the top 100?
Number 39.
Sweet.
So yeah, it's just like, I mean, once again, it was one of those songs where I was creating it, you know, A, to commemorate Ren and Stimpy, because I love Ren and Stimpy, but also because I was hoping there was going to be a second coming of Ren and Stimpy that would bring it back into the realm of popularity because of the new episodes that went up on Spike TV, which I know TV's Kyle dislikes. I liked them. but, that show ended up getting basically canceled because of Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake's Super Bowl stunt, and then that entire Spike TV lineup of, you know, Adult Swim-ish type of entertainment that they were trying to be all edgy with ended up getting canceled.
Yeah.
Because, you know, suddenly it's like, oh, the FCC is getting hundreds of thousands of dollar fines to people who do things they don't like. Anyway. Okay, other songs that I'm surprised are off the top 50, starting from lowest and going up. The Spongy Dance was number 80.
Really?
It got 90 votes. Remember, this was the number 4 song of 2004 on the Dr. Demento Show.
It was number 80?
Number 80.
Really?
Number Cornholio was number 69. It got 11 votes. It was very popular back in the day when I first did it. So for it to have dropped down to 69.
I voted for it. Yeah. You know where one of those 11 votes came from.
Yeah. Keanu Man was number 63. It got 12 votes. Another fan favorite from back in the day. Kenny Was a Kid from South Park, number 62, got 12 votes. And remember, that one was the number 6 song of 1998 on Dr. Demento. Murder Was the Play, number 57, 13 votes, another fan favorite from back in the day. This one was surprising. Too Much Stuff was number 56. It got 13 votes. Remember, this was the second most requested song of the year on Dr. Demento, almost number 1 2 years ago, and now it's number 56. What the fuck happened? Why did people stop liking that song? I don't know. Anyway, so okay, this next set of comments has to do with specifically the discussions we had 2 years ago. So this time around, Star Wars Trilogy Homesick Blues was number 19, and Star Wars Prequel Homesick Blues was number 48, which is as it should be, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe last time people got confused as to which version was which, and maybe because I pointed it out on Bad Rapport Episode 4, people took care to make sure they were voting for the right version this time, or whatever. Yes. So that made me really happy to see Trilogy Blues at 19 and Prequel Blues at 48. I still think Holding Out for Hero, which was number 27, should be ranking much higher. It's just a kick-ass song. I think the problem is it's
tied to Heroes.
It suffered, It suffered from, after Heroes went completely.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the stuff is going to be, anytime you do parody work, it's highly dependent on how long the original work is popular.
If they would have cut Heroes out after the first season, like most people wish they would have, that pop song would, people would think of Heroes without thinking of how bad it is instead of... Too bad he could have done more.
Yeah, Heroes would have taken on a mythology like Firefly did if it got canceled after the first season.
And they would have made like a movie, and it would have been much better because they would have put a lot of specific effort into making the movie.
They should have totally canceled it.
All right. So the lone Psycho Potpourri track has switched from Murder Was the Play at number 57 to Gowron Said Knock You Out at number 41.
Weird.
Which is due, no doubt, to the remake I made for Greatest Hits Volume 1, which got posted at the Funk.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, as much as I hate to see Murder Was the Play off the list, it makes me happy to see Gowron get on the list because I really like that I finally was able to make the version of that song that I originally wanted to when I first thought of it back in 1996. So, yeah, as I said before, I'm very happy to see Snoopy the Dog hit number 5, and that 9 songs from Be Amused By Me made the top 50. Like I said before, I still think it's kind of odd that, for some reason, the Fump tracks don't seem to, you know, fare as well as the stuff I made, you know, pre-2007. And Devo jokingly said on the Fump cast that's because your early stuff is really good, and, you know, your new stuff kind of sucks. He worded it better than that, but he was making a joke. But that's still basically the problem, is that, you know, that early stuff, some of it just is so galvanized in people's minds.
It's timeless.
It's so hard for me to break through that, and, you know...
I could put on Carpe Dementia right now and just rock the hell out.
Yeah.
It's like last year, Spock Star was number 9. This year, it's number 24. And the only notes I don't have are, you know... Sarah has a cool Cody thing with the way she did the website so that when she updates the numbers, it tells you how many places it moved since last year.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have the, like, biggest movers up or down at my fingertips. And I had too much stuff to do to prep for Con and the Cob to do the math myself. So perhaps I'll do a follow-up with that information once Sarah has updated that at the website.
Okay.
But anyway, so... You know, like I said, I'm so happy that Snoopy the Dog was number 5 in that Marvel Poppins and was, you know, number 12 in that, you know, all those songs made it. So part of the reason, besides having info at the website that will point out to new people visiting my website, oh, here's what the fans like, you know, listen to these examples. You know, the other thing was, you know, trying to figure out what I want to put on Luke Ski's Greatest Hits Volume 2 when I eventually put that out. My original vision for it was that I was going to wait for the 10th album to come out so that the second two CD set could cover 6 through 10.
Ziggy says kick.
Kick. And so, okay, go back in time a bit to Mid-South Con when I was bored at my table with nothing to do. I actually sat down and based on the, you know, the 2009 Top 50, figured out, well, if I released it now, what would the two-disc set be? And I came up with a track listing for the two-disc set for Volume 2 that I thought was really good and really well balanced and, you know, hit all the major highlights and had a few of my personal favorites thrown in there, much like Volume 1 was. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm sure my new album will have at least one or two songs that really stand out. You know, I can replace MC Freeburg and put on, you know, whatever one or two or three songs are the most popular and still have basically the same set. And then, as I said, nine songs from Be Amused By Me made the top 50. So now I tried to do that list again and do another version. And looking at that version of the two-disc set, it just feels like it's not as good a collection because nine tracks, which are, you know, 42 minutes of material, you know, spans that two CD set. And if it's going to be that much material, I might as well just not include that album in the set so that, you know, Be Amused By Me can be its own separate album for the time being.
Why did you just choose the, you know, out of the nine, choose the four that you think are best or choose the top four or something?
Well, what I did is I typed up that list I made at Mid-South Con and I've typed up the new version of the list. And I'm not going to read them on the podcast, but I'll post them as like a JPEG image because it's easier to post them that way in a way that people can read easily. So people can see the two lists just so I can get their feedback on which list they think, you know, would make the better two CD set for Greatest Hits Volume 2. If I should do the version that covers 2004 to 2011 or do the version that's 2004 to 2009. I mean, right now my inclination would be the 2004 to 2009 just because I think it's a better two CD set. And then, you know, leave Be Amused By Me. I mean, there was a 2-year span between the, between Too Much Stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, I'm going to post some sort of JPEG image showing the two lists, the alpha version and the beta version, just so I can get our listeners' opinions on which of those two sets they think would make a better Greatest Hits Volume 2 set. One that has the songs for Be Amused By Me or the one that doesn't, and then so that you Be Amused By Me would just be, you know, on its own for the foreseeable future
until the next best of in 20 years from now when you have enough comedy music acquired.
So there's all that. And did Josh, you just took a look at the list of did you have other comments you wanted to make?
Well, I was basically looking at like Snippy the Dog and Grease Wars. A lot of those tend to have sort of a timeless value to them. I mean, everybody knows who Snippy is. Everybody knows Star Wars. And obviously Lord of the Rings for Stealing Like a Hobbit. And I think that that's probably just sort of the common element that the ones that are sticking around there are the ones that it really doesn't matter if you're 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. You know, it's going to stay as awesome as it was the first day you heard it. When you have something that's based on Heroes or Lost, it seems like you have a short window on that.
Yeah.
Maybe until, you know, 10 years from now when there's a resurgence and, wow, Lost, that was awesome, and it becomes, you know, the new, old cult series to look at.
What was number four again?
Fanboy. The top five is number one, Stealing Like a Hobbit. Number two, You Don't Know Jack. Number three, Grease Wars. Number four, Fanboy. Number five, Snippy the Dog.
Yeah, You Don't Know Jack probably will fall down a little bit as time goes on.
But it hits a lot of different jacks, so
true.
There's a little bit of coverage there.
So I guess I'll conclude by, or do you have any other comments, Ken?
Well, I was going to ask you never mentioned how many total.
It was at least 49. It doesn't tell you specifically how many people voted. It only tells you, like, for each little section, you know, X number of people voted on this thing and X number of people, and it's different because some people didn't vote for specific albums. But the one that had the highest was that said 49 people voted on this. So I know at least 49 people voted. So, yeah. Do you have any extra thoughts, Carrie?
Not really.
Okay. So I guess I'll conclude by just, you know, reading off where all of the BM Used By Me songs in the top 50 placed. Snoopy the Dog, number 5. Marvel Poppins, number 12. It's Good to Be the King, number 17. It's a Fanboy Christmas, 3 at 25. Hanna-Barbera Polka at number 30. It kind of surprised me to see that one is more popular than I thought it was. Sheldon's Delight, number 32. Sneaking Snacks Into the Cinema at 35. Walking Silly is 43, and Anime Fan was 45. And for the record, Serenity was 64, I'm That Type of Spy was 70, Smeghead was 74, Blues Campbell was 81, Red Bank, New Jersey was 86, and All You Can Tweet was 91.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, go to Lukeski.com, click on Lukeski Top 50 link there. Hopefully by the time this posts, Sarah will have updated it. If not, check back again in the future.
So you're not going to read the whole top 50?
Well, you think I should?
As long as you just read it and you don't stop and make comments on it.
All right, cool. Well, all right, then here's the whole top 50. Should I do 50 to 1 or 1 to 50?
50 to 1.
50 to 1, all right. Number 50, Rocky Horror. 49, My Favorite Part. 48, Star Wars Prequel, Homesick Blues. 47, OMG WTF BBQ. 46, Gory Gory Hallelujah. 45, Anime Fan. 44, Jack Bauer. 43, Walking Silly. 42, Back 1 Week to the Future. 41, Gowron Said Knock You Out. 40, Map Light. 39, Getting Giggity With It. 38, My Parents Bought Me in Television. 37, Baby Got Brack. 36, YODA. 35, Sneaking Snacks Into the Cinema. 34, Who Let the Frog Out? 33, Dementia Revolution. 32, Sheldon's Delight. 31, One Night in Quark's Bar. 30, The Hanna-Barbera Polka. 29, It's a Fanboy Christmas 2, The Wrath of Claus. 28, Bacon. 27, Holding Out for Hero. 26, Wanna Be a Slayer. 25, It's a Fanboy Christmas 3, Return of the Magi. 24, Spock Star. 23, Because I'm Jedi. 22, The Dada Slide. 21, You Might Be a Trekkie. 20, Battlestar Rhapsody. 19, Star Wars Trilogy Homesick Blues. 18, It Takes Who. 17, It's Good to Be the King. 16, Bender Roboto. 15, Vader Boy. 14, 88 Lines About 44 Simpsons. 13, Peter Parker. 12, Marvel Poppins. 11, A Man Named Jane. 10, The Ballad of Optimus Prime. 9, What's Up Spock. 8, House Party at Arkham Asylum. 7, It's a Fanboy Christmas. 6, Insane in the Brain. 5, Snoopy the Dog. 4, Fanboy. 3, Grease Wars. 2, You Don't Know Jack. And 1, Stealing Like a Hobbit.
Huh.
So there you have it.
An excellent list. I can't remember what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad Walking Silly was up there.
Yes.
And Sneaking Snacks Into the Cinema.
I guess I should point out, all right, all the Carrie songs. Grease Wars at number 3.
I think it's interesting that It's a Fanboy Christmas 3 is more popular, but then again, I actually liked it better, but then again, I'm in it, so I'm biased.
Well, yeah.
I think it turned out better, though.
I assumed Fanboy Christmas 3 was going to rank higher than Fanboy Christmas 2 for various reasons that I won't go into, but I'm glad that they're both on there and somewhat near each other. Let's see, what are the other ones with Carrie? Marvel Poppins, number 12. Vader Boy, number 15. Battlestar Rhapsody, number 20. Fanboy Christmas 3 is 25. Holding Out for Hero, 27. One Night at Quark's Bar is 31. Sneaking Snacks to Cinema, 35.
See, I thought that would be higher. I mean, she did invent board rapping.
Anime Fan, 45. And, yeah, I guess that's it for the top 50 of the Carrie ones. But Carrie contributes awesomely to awesome tracks that are awesome. So, I think there should be, like, a Carrie Dalby top 10 poll or something.
Top 10? I can't go top 25?
Well, you could, but it would be, like, your entire library of songs.
Not if I include all the Buffy songs.
Oh, that's true.
You can toss some Josh songs in there, too.
Screw you. Get your own goddamn top 25 list.
Hey, come on. They're really awesome. There's a lot of hard work that went into them, and they're all about...
And you can talk about them on Josh and Ken's Good Rapport.
Oh, that's... That, and we can sing our opening together, just about a duo.
Yeah, they're singing. They're dreads.
Alrighty, relax there.
Well, we'll end this segment and take a song break, and we'll be back with more Bad Rapport after this.
Our song breaks around here are like our potty breaks.
So everyone at home, go pee.
How you doing, folks? This here's your old buddy Jack Nicholson, that is, for those of you who have been in a cave for the past 60 years. Want to tell you a little bedtime story about a pet peeve of mine. Nowadays, all the children are the stars, and the Hollywood films are a stupid farce. You don't need talent, just good looks. Everywhere it's scary. They're worshipping dolts like David Schwimmer and Matt LeBlanc and Matthew Perry. The WB boys like James Vanderbeek. I'd like to chain them all up and drop them to the bottom of Dawson's Creek. So before Jason Big screws another pie, I'll sing to you this lullaby.
I sing everything is as good as it gets. Jackify, Jackify. Everything is as good as it gets. Jackify, Jackify, Jackify.
Johnny Depp and Ethan Hawke couldn't be dumber. Chris O'Donnell's Robin doesn't have the Joker style. And I know what Freddie Prinze Jr. did last summer. He was looking for his brain while David Arquette was learning to dial. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are contracting to make their movie sequel, Bad Will Acting.
But everything is as good as it gets. Jackify, Jackify. Everything is as good as it gets. Jackify, Jackify, Jackify.
Leonardo DiCaprio was a real tour de force for the 30 seconds or so that he played a frozen corpse. Christian Slater's just like me if I was retarded. Keanu Reeves, don't get me started. Mention my name? Oh, Christ, Keanu, what the hell are you doing here?
Well, I was wandering around aimlessly outside, and I heard you singing in here, and you said my name, so I thought you needed my help. So I came in here to help you with your song, Jack.
Why in the hell would I want help from a completely brain-dead Venice Beach surfer boy acting school dropout like you?
Thank you.
That does it. I'm out of here.
Oh, don't go away, Jack. I can help you with this song. See, I've got a band now. It's called Dog Star. You want to hear a song? I love you, dude, dude, dude. Dude, dude, dude. I love you, dude, dude, dude. It's pretty good, huh?
Hi. Hi. So we are now at the Marcus Addison Movie Theater, which is right next door to where me and Sarah got married over at
the... Oh, you have a burr.
Oh, I do, apparently.
Well, it is cold outside.
Burr.
I started mowing the lawn, and then it got dark, so I had to stop. Anyway, so we just went and saw Drive. but that's not the main reason we're recording a segment right now. This is the part where Carrie gives us some important news.
Carrie and Josh talk about baby.
Yes.
Well, we went in and had an ultrasound this morning, and it was a little weird at first because the first thing we noticed is, oh, we really can't see the skeleton. We saw the little ribs.
Your
and the
song
little
was
spine.
Correct. You are factually accurate.
That's creepy.
Yes, it was. It kind of was.
It really was.
I like
the
when
spine.
T-Rex came up to you and said to you, "You have twice as many body parts as you did the last time I saw you."
And we have pictures.
Technically,
now.
I was pregnant the last time he saw me, though. I just didn't know it yet.
Oh, okay.
But the body parts probably weren't there.
No.
Yeah.
They weren't really body parts yet.
No.
Because it had been a week at that point.
Yeah.
So we watched, they said, you know, at the beginning of the ultrasound, so, you know, if we, did you want to know what the gender is? And we were like, yes, absolutely, yes. And she's like, oh, yeah, if I can tell, but, you know, that is not really the most important thing she was trying to figure out. So
yeah,
she got it around to looking at the genitalia 10 minutes into it. So, you know, we saw the little face, the little hands kept going up by the face like this. And, cause she
for
was
those
trying
of you
to,
listening, she's covering her face in
she's
a very cute manner right now.
She was trying to get some pictures of the, you know, so to speak, of the face, and Ziggy kept covering
Ziggy's
face.
Shy.
Apparently.
I think Ziggy's just non-cooperative.
Or that.
Probably.
And of course, like all the other ultrasounds and other things that I've had done and general living, Ziggy was moving around a lot. As the podcast probably doesn't, podcast listeners probably don't know yet, but the baby's been kicking a lot lately, which it's, you know, it's really, you could, it's almost, it's very subtle at this point, but
I also find that creepy. I find everything about pregnancy creepy. Every single bit of it. It's creepy.
Well, it's just like flashbacks of the movie Aliens and stuff.
Yes,
thinking,
absolutely.
Well, you need to hear my new song. I don't know that I'm creeped out per se, although I think that is the first thing I said during my very first ultrasound, which was not like a scheduled ultrasound. It was like a quickie ultrasound. And I was just like, that's creepy. But it's not so much that I'm creeped out, but I am weirded out. But, you know, looked at the little four little chambers of the heart, and they were doing all their little measurements, and said the kid did have a nose bone, so that meant the kid's probably doesn't have Down syndrome. And then...
I thought it was just cartilage.
Well,
no, there is like right up here.
Oh,
this
okay.
one.
Yeah.
But then at one point it seemed to be angling from the bottom, like, you know, a buffalo shot, as they would say mm-hmm. on MST3K. And it's about 5 seconds into that Josh and I, she hadn't said anything yet, and we had both noticed a penis.
Yeah, it was pretty. It's pretty hard to miss. So it's just kind of like, you know, really, if you had gone in there and said, "No, I really don't want to know what the gender of my kid
they
is,"
they would have had to have.
Why does my daughter have three legs? You know, it would be.
They would have had to have us shut our eyes at that point if we really didn't want to know, because it was really obvious.
It's a boy.
Yeah. Yay. And finally, four minutes into doing that, she finally officially said it was a boy. And Josh is very emotional, and
you just don't know what to do with it, do you?
I really don't. I don't have brothers, and I didn't grow up with my father, so I know.
What was your comment that you said that, you know, you said something, you know about men, you don't know about boys, and I told her, really, there's no difference. Basically, the difference between a man and a boy is a man is a boy with a thin veneer of civility on top. Occasionally, we know when to lower the toilet
and
lid, and that's
also
it.
Also, men are hairier, and boys are less hairy.
But we typically are equally disgusting, and we smell bad.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah. The interesting thing is that Josh had a dream a week, roughly, ago, about...
It was really, if this is a prophetic dream, it is the world's most boring prophetic dream.
a lot of them are.
I was walking with a kid who was, he was either, he altered between 2 and about 9, just kind of through the whole course of this.
Two years old, nine years old.
Basically, you know, small kid, larger kid. And at one point, I was giving him, you know, sage advice, don't take your car to the new car dealership to get a service because they're just going to rip you off. And I remember the look on my son's face as not like, wow, my dad's full of wisdom and great. It's just basically like, God, I am so bored. I want to be playing Nintendo right now. Will he shut up? I mean, I think
Xbox is the thing. Xbox. Not Nintendo.
Well, whatever it's going to be. Whatever the kids are doing these days.
Nintendo Wii. And it was a scruffy blonde-haired kid.
Yeah.
Josh had blonde hair when he was a kid.
It went from scruffy blonde hair to scruffy not blonde hair. So.
Not remotely blonde.
No, I was blonde when I was born.
Yeah.
I was Aryan when I was born. I had blonde hair and blue eyes.
That was me too. Big curly blonde hair.
Yeah.
Of course, I was also purple with horns.
Then another interesting dream was.
That's right.
It's true.
Another interesting dream was it was the morning, this morning before I woke up. I don't know if it was I was half asleep or fully asleep. It was just like, it wasn't really a plot. It was just an image that flashed into my head of like a brightly colored, you know, little semi-cartoonish fetus with a penis. So the very morning of...
Apparently you were having a dream about a Beatles video with your child in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the very morning of, you know, the day when we were going to find out, I think we both kind of went in there like sort of maybe leaning towards thinking it was going to be a boy. And apparently my mother-in-law, Karen, had also... She said she knew since Saturday that it was a boy because I had flutters, and she had had flutters when she was pregnant with Josh, and this chick that comes to clean her house, Maria.
Yeah.
I never met her, obviously. She was telling her, yeah, my daughter-in-law said she was having flutters. And immediately, with 100% confidence, this Maria says, it's a boy.
Yeah. What's a flutter?
It, instead of a kick, it feels like, you know, like vibration.
I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah. We need some more description as we go along here. We need to get the Sarah reacts to Carrie's pregnancy as it goes through different phases.
Just different horrified looks.
Yeah. Different horrified looks and things I'm not going to say and just cringing.
My kid was playing my ribcage like a xylophone from the inside. It was awesome.
What did your friend sing?
I said, because
he sang an Under the Sea parody.
Yeah,
what
it was,
say?
Oh God, what was it?
Just keep it right over there, buddy.
So some of what we said won't entirely make sense if I don't have a recording of the song soon, which doesn't sound like I'll get done in time for this weekend.
I wouldn't say that.
I read the email.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't, I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, so it's a boy, you know, my thing I had said was that, you know, a girl would be more exciting, but more terrifying. So a boy is more of a relief to me.
Yeah, I have to be the role model and stuff. So that means,
yeah, I get to put more pressure on him.
Pretty much. I mean, it's like, you know, I get to go teach my kid how to play catch. Now somebody needs to teach me how to play catch. I don't know how.
Does this involve a ball?
Yeah, we're thinking we're going to ask Ken, maybe if he can teach me how to
exactly.
throw a ball first.
We need Ken to teach Josh how to throw a ball. So
maybe
that
you
Josh...
can get Aaron to do it.
That's probably,
that too.
Would help. That's,
See, I have a rudimentary, you know, education and masculine type stuff of that nature. It's like my dad taught me enough to know what the hell I, you know,
just
I
didn't
was
know
doing.
The difference between a baseball and a football.
It's like, you know,
I learned how to fist fight. I didn't learn how to play sports. So it's like I got part of it down, but not the other part.
At least, who did I?
Yeah, I was... Oh, my God.
Well, I had a brother, and he wasn't gonna play sports
well,
with you.
I'm just thinking of the conversations down the road of, you know, it's like, son, where are you going? I'm going outside to play baseball. Like hell you are. Get back in here, sit down and play Dungeons and Dragons now.
Yeah. Have you finished your character?
No.
Why are you only at level one? No son of mine is gonna be level one. What? A level one thief?
One thing we know for sure that Josh and...
You are grounded for 3 weeks!
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, you know...
Saving throw versus parental authority. Fail. Yeah.
No matter what, we know for sure that Josh and his son Alexander can... share in the love of Star Wars.
Yeah.
No matter what else the kid may or may not share in, boy loves Star Wars.
I'm just afraid that he might turn out to be one of those kids that likes the light side of the Force and stuff.
The
and,
Jedi.
Yeah, doesn't like the Empire, you know.
I wanted to be Darth Vader when I was growing up.
The Emperor was odd. The Emperor when I was a kid reminded me of my grandpa. Exactly. And my grandfather, as far as I knew, never actually like shot force lightning at anybody.
I was gonna ask.
But you know, you like your father are now at family Thanksgiving dinner.
But we want to name the baby Alexander David Racy, and Alexander is a name that we like.
Yeah,
that's
and
my middle name, Alexandra.
Alexandra.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll go with Alexander instead.
I think that's fair.
And,
are you going to call him Xander for short?
No, Alex.
I was thinking Lex would be good, too. Like, you know, Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah,
a good
start
name.
Him early.
Yeah.
Hey, no, evil guys are rich.
That's...
I know Xander is an option, but his friend Matt already
They've already
kind of
got the
Xander
option going. So.
And I like Alex
We can call him Alex P. Keaton and tell him about the wonderful Republican way of life.
I already made that joke earlier today. So Dave, the middle name David is after Josh's late father, and Racy is after Josh.
Yeah, so there we go.
And we went to Babies R Us and looked around kind of like, you know...
What do we do?
Kind of like you would probably look, you know...
Oh,
like,
no, I know exactly what everything is at Babies R Us.
Wow.
I know exactly everything about the baby thing. I just don't want one.
That's because you know
creepy.
About it, right?
Yeah. I know everything about it.
Yeah.
It's creepy. I don't
and,
like it.
And you're married to somebody who knows everything about Toys R Us.
Exactly.
So you have the R Us
franchise
covered. So we're all prepped to have a kid, except for the actual having the kid.
Except for the I totally don't know. No.
And she won't let me build one.
And I'm not going to let you build one.
Out of Legos
out of Legos and cardboard boxes.
And hot glue and sticks.
They're easy to fix, though. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Kid has an accident on the playground, just go out and buy a few more Lego bricks.
Come on, I've made you like 50 puppets. When are you going to be happy?
When the blue fairy comes down and makes one of them alive, I guess.
You want a real boy? No, you don't. He wouldn't know what to do with it.
He'd wish it was a kitty after about 2 hours.
After it starts playing with your toys. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
and starting destroying your toys.
Chewing on all your DVDs and...
Peanut so
butter in the DVD
we
player.
Bought it. We bought an outfit. I went to Babies R Us with the mission to like, okay, we have to buy a boy's outfit because it's official. So I bought a cute little pink onesie that says "Mommy's Little Tiger" or pink. Did I say
no,
pink?
Yes, you said pink.
You really, really want to buy pink clothes. I know.
Well,
she's,
I was thinking
she's really,
orange.
She's really hoping he's gay. I think.
Whatever works.
I was thinking orange as I said pink. It is, in fact, orange.
Speaking of, I need to send you a not always right that I read recently because it's funny as hell.
Okay.
And then there's another onesie with an adorable little tiger cub on it. And then there's these little pants with, like, a big tiger cub face on the butt. And,
So you're going to need to start a baby registry soon?
Yes.
And you're going to need to figure out, like, how you want to decorate the nursery?
We don't really have a nursery. The baby will probably sleep in our room a lot.
You want a co-sleeper or a bassinet?
Co-sleeper.
The initial,
She thinks I haven't thought of these things.
No, I'm just asking. Because I want to keep my eye out in case I see anything
well,
like...
Yeah, that would be
good. I'll probably... do a registry or two and get them, try to get them done by the end of November, the latest, so that if people want to buy baby stuff as Christmas presents,
yeah,
they can, because I'd rather have baby stuff than carry stuff this
baby
year.
Baby proofing is also going to be very, very important, especially if...
Target has tons of baby proofing stuff.
Given what I did as a kid, as far as...
Such as?
Well, the, you know, taking apart the playpen.
At a very young age.
Yeah, not like necessarily shaking it apart, but basically figuring out how to unscrew the varying pieces by hand.
My brother filled every electrical outlet in the house with Desitin.
I tried to make
My dad had to rewire everything.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
I'll tell you more stories about my brother sometime. He was great. As a kid.
Little boys cause lots of property damage, just so you know. I told you about...
Now what happens when they do that in a rental house?
Okay, you want to hear property damage? My mom got out of the car briefly to talk to the neighbor. My brother somehow got the car into gear, rolled it down the street between two trees and into a house.
Now what happens if that's a rental house? Who knows?
I got tons of these.
Boys are terrifying.
I told you. I tried to make an electric lightsaber when I was 6 years old.
The biggest relief about the boy versus girl is that, you know, since there's a reasonable chance the child has Marfan syndrome, I just felt everything I had read made it sound like it would be a lot easier for a boy to deal with.
Who's syndrome?
Marfan syndrome. That's my little...
It's what makes Josh tall.
And gangly and Abe Lincoln's disease.
Mm. And, you know, I just the thought of, you know, a tall, skinny, gangly-looking woman who will put her life at risk if she wants to have kids was pretty terrifying. So if, you know...
She'd make a great runway model.
Not from the pictures I've seen of women with Marfan.
Not those are the severe ones. It basically what it is a protein gets manufactured incorrectly, so you're a little more elastic than it should be, and it's a protein.
Double jointed.
Everything's
long, not just your legs.
Any of your soft tissues. So basically, like your aorta, for instance, extends a lot more than it should.
Like, look at Josh's hands, and imagine if a woman had those hands.
Well, I'm also a mild case, too.
Yeah.
They watch for things like aortal dissections.
It's actually what killed Jonathan Larson, who wrote Rent, the day before Rent debuted. And had its first.
And lots of times, basketball players in college, the ones that like randomly drop dead on the court, have Marfans for the same kind of thing.
So it's
a barrel of fun.
You know, obviously we're hoping the boy doesn't have it either. But if he does, it's going to be, you know, easier
more manageable
for him. You know, because he's a boy and he has daddy, you know, to talk to about it, and you know. And he doesn't have to worry about getting pregnant.
You're awfully quiet.
Yeah, you are.
Well, you know, making jokes would be crass.
We are.
Because.
Yes, because
being crass
we take offense. We take offense.
I'm talking about.
Well,
her
I could
baby
point out the
like
fact
the
that
alien.
You bought a onesie so that you could be everyone like, see, the baby is this, and this is the clue, and the clue is an orange onesie. What is the clue you're trying
to
give
the
people?
Yeah. It says mommy's little tiger, not tigress
or
not mommy's little
orange onesie. I'm just saying.
It is orange and not pink.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, just by the fact that Carrie bought something for a baby and it was not pink should then indicate...
Now, if you look at Wikipedia, it does say that boys wore pink until the early 20th century.
Yeah. It's
pink
not
was
gonna
considered
fly
too,
anymore.
Too strong.
Yeah,
for
but
girls.
The point is, nobody wears orange except me.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was going with that.
Well,
Carrot Top wears orange, doesn't
he? Maybe
no,
we'll
just a hair.
Maybe we'll get him a pink polo shirt or something. But I mean, there's not going to be a whole hell of a lot of pink for the boy's wardrobe, unless he really wants it.
maybe he'll be in the Disney princesses or something.
Yeah, I'm sure that will be thrilling for Josh.
Hey, but as long as he's healthy, I don't care. And as long as he's not like, you know. Mom, Dad, I've decided to become a fundamentalist. Anyway.
That's our
for those of you out there who are listening that I've offended, well, I've offended you. So yeah.
See, that's why you have to, like, take him to church for the first, you know, 10 years or so, like, religiously, so he'll never want to go.
It worked for me. Yeah,
It worked for pretty much everybody at this table.
Yeah.
Well, I think my parents just wanted me out of the house on Sunday morning because they didn't go to church. I just had to go over to Sunday school. It took me until I became an adult to understand why that might be the case. So, you know.
Well, shall we wrap her up?
Sure, I guess we'll wrap up this thing.
Slap a light blue bow on her.
Okay.
And call her a him instead of a her.
Indeed.
Or green.
All right, and now another thing.
They're just a child. A tiny baby. It's a big old world out there. It can drive a person crazy. But I'm your daddy. I'm going to hold your hand. There's some things you've got to learn as you grow up to be a man. Got to treat the pretty ladies right. Got to make them scream all night. Got to give them booze and bling and make them want to dangle off your dirty thing. But baby, got to take it slow. Take the time to make a feeling grow. When you want to do a lady's pants, got to move with her, got to do the dance. Take it, baby, from a man who knows. Your diddy daddy, he knows the hose. I can make him take off all the clothes. Want to humpty hump, but want to self-expose. You're just a bitty baby now. But as you grow, I'm going to teach you how to make the ladies want to touch your love. But when you do the deed, you better wear a glove. Cause you are just a little man child, but I'm telling you how to make the bitches go wild. Make them ooh, 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 ooh. Go ooh, ooh, ooh. You are just a little man child, but I'm telling you how to make the bitches go wild. Make them ooh, ooh, gotta buy them the fancy wine. Gotta get them feeling fine. Pretend you're listening to what they say. Cause they think you're sensitive and that's okay. Tell the lady that you like her friends. Cause a little baby when the music ends, she might let you take it far. Have sex with you in the back of your car. Take a baby from a man who knows. Your diddy daddy, he knows the hoes. I can make him take off all the clothes. Wanna humpty hump, but wanna self-expose. You're just a bitty baby now. But as you grow, I'm gonna teach you how to make the ladies wanna touch your love. But when you do the deed, you better wear a glove. Cause you are just a little man child, but I'm telling you how to make the bitches go wild. Make them ooh, 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 ooh. Go ooh, ooh, ooh. You are just a little man child, but I'm telling you how to make the bitches go wild. Make them ooh, 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 ooh. Go ooh, 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 ooh. And by the time you get out of that crib, you're gonna make a baby like your diggity daddy did. You are just a little man child, but I'm telling you how to make the bitches go wild. Make them ooh, ooh, ooh. Just a little man charm, and I'm telling you how to make the bitches go wild. Make them ooh, 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 ooh. You are just a little man charm, and I'm telling you how to make the bitches go wild. Make them ooh, 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 ooh. You are just a little man charm, and I'm telling you how to make the bitches go wild. Make them ooh, 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 ooh.
Oh, yeah, before we move on to the next whatever the next is, I wanted to wrap up the whole top 50 thing because Sarah put the put the new top 50 up, and I was able to look at her thing to figure out which had the biggest gains and falls.
By the way, it is now October 19th, and yes, we are at Luke's house in Des Plaines.
So that means we recorded stuff on the 17th and the 18th. No, the 16th and the 17th, and now the 19th.
Yes.
So we didn't record anything yesterday.
Correct.
So, anyway. And this does not include songs that fell off of the top 50. I could research that, but I'm not going to. So, within the ones that stayed on the top 50 charts, the biggest gains were What's Up Spock, which jumped up 26 places. YODA moved up 12 places, and 88 Lines While 44 Simpsons moved up 11 places. The biggest drops were Star Wars prequel Homesick Blues dropped 34 places. Rocky Horror dropped 17. Getting Giggity With It dropped 16. Spock Star dropped 15. Jack Bauer dropped 14. And Bacon dropped 13. So, you know, that's that. So go to Lukeski.com. Click on the Lukeski Top 50 link to see the whole list and play around with it and figure out whatever you feel like. Also, all of these songs have been added to the song index with lyrics, including, you know, the songs that didn't make the top 50. You know, all the stuff from Be Amused By Me is up there if you want to go check out the lyrics, including Red Bank, New Jersey, and Smeghead. So, there you go. And some stuff from Motor Rip Off Volume 2 is put up there as well. All right, so Well, we already kind of talked about the big major thing. Is there anything else?
Well, where does the big major thing go?
Well, I'm going to put the first 2 seconds we recorded chronologically.
Oh, okay.
So this will be technically segment 3, but...
Oh, okay.
You know, but we'll do news of the stupid after this segment. So,
Okay.
So,
Well, there's other things that have happened in my life other yes. than have... Other than knowing I am having a very, very active boy. We got a car because we finally decided, you know, it's time to get a second car so that, you know, we're not constantly having to, like, do all these really complex, ridiculous plans to make sure that both of us, both me and Josh, are, you know, adequately transported. So, he found a really awesome mid-90s white Toyota Camry that has been refurbished, so its engine is like from 99, and so the new engine has like 120,000 miles on it or something, and needs some help with the tires, and apparently the stereo doesn't work at all in any way, shape, or form. But which makes me glad I'm not the one driving it most of the time. But other than that, I guess it's pretty damn awesome. And we put my name on it because I figured, you know, what the hell? Let's have a car in my name, you know, for the first time in almost a decade. So, yeah. Although Josh's name is down there as a co-owner. So we have a car.
That's cool.
We went to the con, which we're going to talk about later, and last night I watched the first episode, what is it, Christopher Eccleston episode of Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is for me and Josh to slowly start from there and watch all of them until someday we're caught up and... You know, someday I'll have some clue what's going on.
It'd be neat if you got caught up with the whole run of the new series by Christmas, because then you could watch the new Christmas special episode.
I don't see that happening. Yeah. There's a lot to catch up on, unfortunately. But, just got a baby co-sleeper, which is like, you know, a small crib that you kind of attach to your own bed. That Sarah actually looked up for me on Craigslist without being prompted to do so.
Sarah's like that.
Yeah, it's really appreciated, because the co-sleepers I had browsed online are like, yeah, we're $350 and we're made of wood. And so she finds me one on Craigslist that's $55 and is portable, you know, made of collapsible plastic. So... That's about it. What is up in your life other than the con?
Well, I'm assuming by now they've already heard in this episode the song Skeksis Back. The long story short version of that, I'll go into it in more detail on the Fumpcast, because that's what the whole point of the Fumpcast is.
Yup.
A week ago Saturday, I was at Ed DeBevick's, you know, doing my character thing and listening to... one of the hostful episodes of the Nerdist podcast, episode 131, and one of the guys was talking about a friend of theirs who had made some joke where he was singing a song to himself, and he's like, you know, I believe in miracles, you skexy thing, and he thought that was funny, and then Chris was like, oh, I love the idea of Dark Crystal song parodies, and then they started trying to think up one on the spot, and they couldn't think of one. At first, and then Jonah, I think it was, said something like, I'm bringing Skeksis back, and then they just kind of, like, you know, dropped it and moved on, and I just kind of, at the first, you know, was just, no, that was pretty funny, and then, like, I started, you know, thinking to myself, I have a Chamberlain puppet, I have a friend who did a parody of Skeksis Back a few years ago and has the background music, I have blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like, I could write up this thing and record it and film a quick video for it and throw it on YouTube by tomorrow, you know, so I immediately started, you know, I on my phone I was able to get a YouTube video of the original version of Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake so that I could, like, listen to the lyrics and, you know, see what they actually are, so that I'm running a parody of Sexy Back and not a parody of Anorexia Back. So, You know, so I came to, after listening to it, because it's like a whatever 4 minute something song, and I came to the conclusion that the song basically goes about a minute and a half and then kind of repeats,
yeah,
you know, various parts over and over. So I didn't really need more than that. So I wrote up the lyrics the following morning. I was able to convince Sea Monkey to, you know, dig up the music and give me as much of a stripped down version as he could. And then sent it to me, recorded it, and, you know, filmed it and then edited it and put it up. And so basically there was another project I had kind of meant to work on that Sunday, and it got kind of derailed by this, but it ended up being worth it because about a day or two after I posted it to YouTube, both Jonah Ray and Chris Hardwick, who is Nerdist on Twitter, you know, noticed the tweets about it and retweeted it themselves, and Chris Hardwick even wrote about it at the Nerdist website. So if you go to thefump.com...
Abby! Get in here!
Abby! Come here!
She's out there crying like she's all alone! And the door's wide open.
So Chris wrote about it at the Nerdist website. There's a link to it from Lukeski.com and from thefump.com. And At first it was going to sneak in as a Sunday track at the Funk, but then another one of the artists had to unfortunately bail from their slot. So I was able to slide it over to a Tuesday slot. So so the song's up at the Funk for free download, and so far the last time I checked, at least, you know, like 5,000 or so people had watched the video.
Yeah.
And I even got a direct message on Twitter from Chris saying, you know, I forgot exactly what it was, but it was something like, you know, your Dark Crystal, your Skeksis video was so fucking funny, or something like that. So thank you very much to Chris Hardwick for sending me that message. I actually, yesterday...
It's so funny how your, like, gigantic forearms, like, pretty much almost completely conceal the tiny, tiny cat.
I got a teeny kitty. I sent Chris Hardwick copies of Be Amused By Me and Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 1, yesterday. So I hope he enjoys those. And sent him a little note, you know, thanking him for the plug and everything.
I heard the most recent Hostful, and they didn't mention it, but they might have recorded it beforehand.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, when I listened to it.
Oh, kitty cat.
Oh,
kitty cat.
Goodbye to Carrie. Oh, goodbye to Carrie. Oh, goodbye to Carrie.
Yay!
Aw. We'll just trade Abby back and forth while we do the podcast.
Aw.
So do we want to... Should we...
smell like a kitty.
Do we want to dive right into our Con of the Cob report?
Yes.
Okay. So
let's try not to do the 45-minute version.
All right. So, Friday... myself and my driving companions drove out to
Con
of the Cob.
Me and Josh didn't leave till Saturday, so I'll be quiet during this part.
So just real quick, Justice Team is the band went up first. None of us in the room had really seen them before, but apparently they are a band something akin to the Nick Adams. They are a 4-person rock group that dress up like various types of superheroes.
Can describe it as if the Nick Adams had a keyboardist.
Kind of, yeah, except they're more on the superhero comic booky thing than, you know, it's like Nick Adams kind of seems to be more like mad science than superhero-y in a way, but...
Well, cause this, mad cause science the one, and robotic.
So, if...
Am I bothering you?
You're not bothering me, but if I was, like, facing away from the microphone while talking, you would be yelling at me.
I wasn't facing away.
So, but one of the guys was called Mudman, but he was basically dressed up as a Batman type of character and did all his talking between the songs like this. So he sounded like, you know, like Christopher Nolan's version of Batman with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did some fun songs. They did some covers. They did the Power Rangers theme. They did the music from the Batman video game for Nintendo. So, you know, it was cool and interesting and you know, nice to kind of see them. They did not have any CDs for sale or anything, or else I would have gotten one. Insane Ian went on at 8:30. He did a great show, as he always does. This particular review of his show is going to not contain a lot of detail, and that will piss off Ian, because he'll be like, no, tell me exactly what I did, and good and bad, and...
I want you to talk about me!
Me! But no, Ian did a great show. I brought my my pimp outfit from the cover of my DVD because I thought that he wanted to perform cosplaying fangirls in his show, and then I found out when I got there he wanted to just film me for a music video.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. That means that that's one less thing I have to do on stage. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he did Achievement Unlocked. He did a new song about Frogger, which was really cool. And he's going to have hopefully a studio version of that done in the near future with help from TV's Kyle and Odd Austin.
No, Austin
Eschleman. Okay. It starts with Esch, like MC Escher. Eschleman.
Okay.
That's how I remember is thinking of MC Escher.
Okay.
Eschleman. So Ian did a great show. Soccer Championships went on, and it was just a two-person version of that. It was Al Kav with his...
Keyboardist.
Well, he had his laptop set up so that he was... The other background music was coming out of his laptop, and he had his brother keyboardist. Is that Brendan is the keyboardist?
It's either Brendan or Brandon. I can never remember.
Well, no, I mean... Is that
yes? It's he's not Sean.
On the occasions when Al Kav forgot a lyric or screwed something up, he'd go, "Oh wait, hold on a second," and then he would hit the button and like back up the thing, to where he was so that he could like continue the song without having the screw up in there. So they did a great show. Power Salad went up, and you know Chris was pulling double duty, running his own sound while his show was going.
I was wondering how that went.
But his show went well. Positude went on next. Positude made these t-shirts that were basically pastel-covered t-shirts, but then poked little holes in them and tied different colors of, like, 5-inch lengths of yarn just kind of randomly all over the shirts.
And that was what they were wearing?
And they were wearing that. When they were wearing other stuff, too, but they had those on, and they're like, yeah, this is our new product. This is like if cats don't like you, what we do, we made these shirts, and they got strings all over them. Man, cats will fucking love you when you wear this shirt, so you can buy them from us after the show if you want to buy one. And it's like, at the same time, it's stupid, but it's like, damn, that's a brilliant marketing idea. Call up the Snuggy people. You could probably make a million off of that. But they did a really great show, and they had some really funny bits in there that just kind of came out of nowhere. So I'm looking forward to whatever's next from the boys at Positude.
Is there a cap? Is that a cap?
Oh, kitties like caps. And then Worm Quartet, hit the stage and rocked the mic per usual. You know, everyone loves Worm Quartet.
As per usual, he rocks the mic.
And he closed with What Your Parents Think All Your Music Sounds Like. And, we all took our appropriate places in the room. I had this idea. I don't know if anybody else had this idea yet, but... I would like to have shirts that say, kind of like with Twilight, Team Edward and Team Jacob.
Team Drugs.
Yeah, Team Sex, Team Drugs, and Team Satan. I want to make t-shirts that say that, so that, especially, like, think about it in the context of if performing at, like, Deep South Con 50, where, like, nobody really knows Worm Quartet, I assume. Uh-huh. It would be great if the rest of us pumpers who were there just all, like, when he starts doing that song, we just, like, all, stand in front of the audience wearing our appropriate t-shirts that say Team Sex, Team Drugs, and
nobody's
Team Satan.
Gonna want Team Drugs.
I don't know.
Everybody's Team Satan or Team Sex at conventions.
Well, I'm sure we could find somebody.
Well, you can go to Dragon Con and perform it and just get in some of this, strung out junkies that are standing around in a line.
So, we established early on in the weekend that it's after every show ended, I would wait about 30 seconds, and then I would say, and now it's time for What's Luke Plugging Now? And then I would, plug the fact that whatever act was just on stage has CDs for sale, to come over and buy them. Because we had been told, and Shoebox had been told by the folks running the con that we were going to have a table in the dealer room where somebody was going to, be set up to sell our merch all weekend, and we didn't get it. So basically, it's like, well, I guess we all have to sell our own merch from inside the performance room because that's our only option. Yeah. So I kind of assigned myself as guy who would coordinate that and keep an eye on the table to make sure shit isn't getting stolen. I didn't necessarily want to step into the role of being the cashier for everyone because...
But you kind
of
were.
But I kind of did, you know, because, you know, it's not like we had a big rush of customers in any given moment. So I helped some other people make some money. And then after Worm Quartet was a bunch of stand-up comedians who, you know, were very R-rated and good.
Just like, how do you like it, Ziggy?
And then after that, we pretty much bailed. Okay, so Saturday.
I got up really early in the morning and went to the airport, and Josh and I flew into Cleveland on purpose.
Yes.
Uh-oh, that's not going to work.
What's going on?
I was going to do my little game, but the media sound is on. I'll have to turn it off first. Stop! No! Don't chew on that!
What did you chew on that? No.
Abby was chewing on the cord. I don't think so. No.
No. Come here. Come here. But I love you, okay? So yeah, where were we? So the first thing that happened on the stage was Destiny Beard, because our magician, apparently, you know, he performed the past couple of years, so the Con of the Cob convention basically gave him a free table in the dealer room, and then they gave him a free table in the dealer room, and then, like, you know, put him on, they said, oh, Shoebox, put him on the schedule to do a show, but he didn't have anybody else to help him run the table in the dealer room, and then they didn't tell him that he had a show.
Mm-hmm.
So he just showed up and sat in the dealer room all weekend, and he had no intention of doing a show.
Ah.
So that's why he didn't do a show. And then Destiny Beard, which was basically a troupe of belly dancers, and there was a lot of confusion surrounding them and what they were there to do. And, you know, for what they were supposed to do and when and where and for how long. So,
I used that to turn my media volume off. Okay.
Okay. And then at 2:00, it was me. So I got up. By then, Carrie had arrived. I did five things. What did I do? I did Dementia Revolution with Devo Spice.
Yes.
I'd
never seen the video for that.
Oh, it's on YouTube.
I never saw it.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we'll be able to do that at the big Demento performance at Deep South Con, whatever that may be.
Sorry, a cat just stepped onto my lap. And I said squee.
So, I did I'm That Type of Spy, I did Skeksis Back, and I did Snoopy the Dog, and then you and I did Grease Wars together. So,
yes.
And the reason I decided to do that is because, well, it's not too often I have the opportunity to do live video type shows, so I just basically looked at what I performed at Con of the Cob the previous year, and, you know, what stuff, you know, have they not seen me perform yet at Con of the Cob with video. So that was how I figured out my set for that show. After me was Max DeGroot. He did a good show. He has a new album out.
Yes. He did do a good show.
I love the new logo he has on that
especially t-shirt. Yeah. What, the one that says pretend I'm wearing a cape?
Well, the front has a logo that kind of looks like an M and a D and a G.
Oh.
And it's kind of a cool logo.
I totally missed that.
Someone designed it for him.
The best part of his show, he ended with Census and had a guy friend of his do the female lines, which gave it a whole nother dimension.
Yeah, it was very awesome. Nuclear Bubble Wrap went up next, and they did an awesome set, as they tend to do, you know, being the rocking comedy music band that they are.
Abby tries to climb on the mic, and then she almost falls off my lap.
Grr, ferocious. Oh, you're so ferocious.
Are you ferocious? Oh, you're so ferocious. You're a warrior.
Yes, he's a little boy tiger, just like you're going to have.
This is a girl.
Well, I guess it's a girl.
Her name is Abby.
I was thinking about your onesie, you know, how it's a little boy tiger onesie. And it's cute.
Apparently confusing as hell.
So, anyway, yeah, Nuclear Bubble Wrap did a great set. They once again brought the balloons and the Pokemon cards, and they promised to clean them all up. And they're like, they're like looking at me, and they're saying, like, we promise, we'll clean all this up. I'm like, this isn't my dementia track. I don't really care so much here if you make a mess.
Yeah.
It's at MarsCon where I have the masquerade people breathing down my neck about getting done by 6 p.m. where I gotta make sure everything's cleaned up. So,
aww.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. Like, she got something in her throat?
I don't know. Anyway.
Little hairball. Mini hairball.
Yeah, and then Carla got up and did her Guest of Honor concert, which, you know, was really awesome. And
she had a lot of people in the room there for her that we didn't all know.
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, many people from the Filk community in Ohio,
yeah,
you know, really like her. I mean, I noticed there were certain people from the Filk community in Ohio who were at Nuclear Bubble Wrap show and at Carla's show, but not at my show. So, you know, that's saying something, especially considering that, you know, this coming weekend is OVFF. So,
mm-hmm.
so yeah, Carla was great. Rob got up and did a show. It was a lot of fun. You know, using his videos once again, and he even took some requests from the audience.
And that's apparently his last show for a while, perhaps for forever.
Yeah, because Rob, I guess, has decided that, you know, there's things going on at Earthworld that are in crisis, and since that's the main, you know, thing that he's, you know, his bread and butter that he's trying to build his future on, he needs to concentrate on that. So now that Con and the Cob is... and the Logans are over with, he's going to shift all his focus onto that and stop concerning himself with the music so much. And
yes,
you know,
he dropped out of the Funk Core.
Yeah, he's going to be just an auxiliary member now. So I kind of told him, you know, I hope if inspiration strikes you hard enough that you'll, you know, give us another song sometime. But he seemed to have said that he was going to wait until about 2013 before he considers starting to make more music again.
Yeah.
Because he just has to concentrate on Earthworld. And I can understand why. He's trying to turn this into a brand that could lead to bigger and better things for him, you know, on a national level. So...
yeah.
So, yeah. And then Shy Show went up next, and they did a great set. I like their set this year better than the set they did last year.
A lot better. They were a lot more polished.
Yeah. Because I don't know if you noticed that there was some kind of They Might Be Giants pre-show performance that they did.
They apparently opened for They Might Be Giants.
I don't know. I don't think they opened for They Might Be Giants. I think they did a performance at a venue near to where They Might Be Giants were performing.
I thought they said they actually opened for them.
I don't think so.
Okay.
They said it was a pre-show performance, but I don't think it was opening for them.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I'm assuming, you know, because of that, they kind of really had to get their, you know, act down, you know, packed, so.
Yeah.
I think the highlight of the show was when they did their cover of Punk Rock Girl, and then they casually said, like, oh, if you guys want to start a mosh pit, go ahead. And then, like, a bunch of people...
And again, Shy Show is a now 14-year-old and 9-year-old girl that are sisters.
I thought she was older than 9, the other one. I thought she was, like, 11 or something.
No.
Oh, okay. But, yeah.
I don't think so.
But it was basically, you know, the 14-year-old is on guitar and the younger one is on just vocals. And, you know, they both sing. And they do some covers and they do some originals. They had a song about the Confederate Constitution.
that was really awesome.
So, as I was saying, she said, like, oh, if you guys want to start a mosh pit, go ahead. And then there were a bunch of guys kind of looking around like, are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? And I'm like... okay, if I have to be the one to actually stand up so that they know, like, yes, let's do this, let's go for it. So mm-hmm. I stood up, and soon two others stood up, and then we had, like, 10 people all going, actually doing a mosh pit.
They're all men. The only reason I didn't get up and go is because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant. That's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
But I, like, pushed Josh into it, and Josh said once he got it became a Josh, or somebody said it became a Josh pit instead of a mosh pit. And everybody's like watching out for the giant 6'5", you know, guy coming at them.
Yeah. So yeah, they did a great set. Devo Spice went on, and you know, as usual, he did an awesome show. He premiered a new song there, and I guess I probably shouldn't say anything about it because I think it's going up on the Fump within a week or two. But he did a really smart thing. It's a parody of a current or relatively current rap hit by a well-known rapper, and you know, I think he kind of knew, you know, his core audience that he performs for, especially kind of the Cobb, was not going to have heard that song before.
Yeah.
Because it's the kind of rap song that only gets played on rap stations and doesn't get a lot of regular national airplay or whatever.
Yeah.
So he actually played clips. He made it look like a commercial for the act, but he played clips of the original version so we could all get the context of what he was doing. And then he did his song, which was so perfect. He really nailed it. You know, with the setup and then the delivery. So so once again, you know, Devo Spice kills it at his show. So and then there was another aspect, and I'll let Carrie talk about that because suddenly halfway through the show something happened.
I forgot. What was it? Why do I have to talk about it?
Because it was a surprise to you. It wasn't a surprise to me because I knew about it.
All of a sudden, 2 years laid to rest podcast Manic Mondays all of the sudden started again during... I didn't even download it because I must not still be subscribed.
Yeah, I had to resubscribe to the feed, so...
Yeah, I just realized.
So all of you people who loved... actually, whether you heard of it or not, it's a really awesome podcast. Our podcast is at least partially based on what Manic Mondays was doing, and we were sad that Manic Mondays was gone and we wanted to try to fill the void.
We're basically just a longer two-person version of Manic Mondays.
Yeah, because he basically plays three or four songs, does News of the Stupid, and, you know, that's about it.
And, yep, and he may talk about comedy music news or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, each episode he does
do
is
a movie
like,
review, whatever he... Or a sketch, whatever he feels like.
Like 20 to 30 minutes long, he records them and posts them late on Sunday night so
sometimes
you can download them on Monday on the way to work.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a theme song by Possible Oscar now.
Yes.
And, go subscribe like I'm going to do tonight.
Yes, I believe, is it manicmondays.net? Is that the website for...
Yes.
Well, what, or just go to devospice.com if I'm wrong about that, because there'll be a link to it from there, so you can go subscribe to Manic Monday. So if you subscribe, the first episode you'll get, which is episode 229, will be what was happening for the second half of his concert at
Comic Con. So you will hear the second half of the Devo Spice concert.
Complete with News of the Stupid, which, you know, is where we got News of the Stupid from, and he told me, when he first told me about this, that it's fine with him if we continue doing News of the Stupid on our podcast, too.
Right.
So.
So hopefully we won't overlap stories too often.
Yeah, I figure, you know, that probably won't happen too much. Although I did think it was funny that on our news, there was a news story that both we covered on News and the Stupid, and Mishki covered, and Whimsical Will covered.
Oh, really?
I forgot what the story was, but I just remember that sticking out in my head.
Yeah.
Anyway, then Ian Stang of the House of Subgenius was doing his thing, but we all left to go get dinner. I think only Shoebox and Chris were left in the room to see that, because we're all like, shit, we have to eat now. This is our only chance.
We had to eat sometime.
But he was really nice. He saw a bunch of our shows, and his people came by and asked for copies of CDs to potentially play on his podcast, which hundreds of thousands of people listen to, apparently. I'm sorry that I hadn't been paying attention to everything involving him, but he seemed like a pretty cool dude to me, and Shoebox said he did an amazing live show. So, we got back. The Logan Awards lost their setup time due to bad planning, to put it politely. So the Logan Awards started at 9:45 with no run through beforehand, which really, it sucked that that's the way it had to happen, but
I don't think it really suffered.
It didn't suffer too much. I just kind of felt like I got kind of, when It's Good to Be the King started, I was given no, I thought by what Rob had said before I hit the stage that I was supposed to talk about my song before the music started. So I started just talking about, like, well, this song is blah, 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 blah. And then as I'm saying words, I realize I'm hearing the music.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I guess the... And I literally said, like, oh, I guess the song has started. And I shot of quick glances over at Ian and Devo Spice, who are both sitting in the audience, who and they both went, fuck, you know, and like got up on stage with me because they didn't know either. So the whole intro to It's Good to Be the King, where you hear the opening sound bites and stuff leading into It's Good to Be the King, like that sets up the whole context and the whole first joke of the parody of the song, was completely lost to anyone in the audience who had never heard that song before.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucked.
The beginning is my favorite part.
Yeah. So the only, you know, that was kind of
but
the only...
But that's because you were the first live act, so you got to be the guinea pig.
So I, you know, I'm used to being the sound check act. So, that was the only real, you know, bump in the road, and it wasn't even that much of a bump, and it only really affected me. So, everything else I thought went great. There was a great, this the whole thing went well. So,
and then towards the end, I was in it.
Yes,
in a black evening gown. I read a thing that Devo Spice, with a little help from Luke, had written about Logan Whitehurst, and after I was done reading that, I read the winners, so I got to be the one to open the envelope just like on all the awards ceremonies you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, and
so I, for a split second, I got to be the only one other than Rob and his girlfriend to know who the winners were.
And there was a surprise. Steve Goody came out for the Logan Awards.
Yes,
and you know because he got three nominations, so he performed at least one of his songs and helped with other stuff, and you know so it was very cool to have him show up and be a part of all that. So the winners were, for the record, for those of you wondering, for outstanding video, Evada Cadavra by Nuclear Rebel Rap and Steve Goody won
No big surprise there.
Yeah, that was
for the video section.
Yeah, and then for best parody, it went to "Smells Like Karen Carpenter" by Money Shot Cosmonauts, and Chris Mezzalesta was there to accept the award on their behalf.
Yes,
and for best original song, it went to Worm Quartet for "The Ballad of Dr. Stop."
Yes,
and
worthy song indeed.
Yes, and Shoebox had a really great acceptance speech, which you want to recount.
Yeah, best acceptance speech ever. He was completely, totally, utterly unprepared to give an acceptance speech. He obviously didn't think he had any chance of winning. And he just said, other than more sex, this is the best thing my vasectomy ever got me.
I think he also said this was totally worth a knife to the groin. So,
yeah. Best acceptance speech ever.
So it's very cool. I'm so looking forward to next year's Logan Awards, which will be at Deep South Con with Dr. Demento hosting.
Pardon me. After that, post Logan party times.
Yes, we had a just kind of a casual get together, playing some funny music, having some snacks, and you know enjoying each other's company and reveling.
And Steve Goody did a set.
Yes, Steve Goody did a set, and it was very awesome. We were giving him requests for songs that he hadn't performed in years, and
yeah, you're trying to stump him with like a 10-year-old song.
So it was a lot of fun. Then we had to, once again, due to bad planning, somebody threw on the schedule that Rocky Horror was supposedly happening in this room
at midnight. Yeah, although it was about 12:30 by the time we heard about that.
Yeah. And apparently there were some people who were, like, so upset that, Rocky, we have to have Rocky,
So upset that someone had to go, like, find a video file on their laptop something?
Yeah, basically, Curtis came to me and asked
me... nobody actually had a copy of it.
Yeah, Curtis came to me and asked me to ask the crowd in our Dementia fan group that's there, do any of you, by coincidence, happen to have a copy of Rocky Horror on you? So Bill,
I don't even think most Rocky Horror, fanatics carry them around with them.
So Bill happened to have one. So Bill hooked them up.
But that was his laptop, wasn't it?
Something like that. So Bill Putt hooks them up, which means we have to like tear down all of our stuff and put it away because we were hoping to keep it just set up and lock it in the room overnight. But no, because of them, because of Rocky Horror, we had to put everything away. And, you know, and Bill provided them with the thing, and they started watching Rocky Horror. And from what reports I've heard, Bill, who provided the Rocky Horror, started doing the callbacks, and then people who were watching the movie started yelling at him for doing callbacks during Rocky Horror. Like,
shut up! We want to listen. We want to watch the movie. We can't hear.
It's like, you wanted Rocky Horror that bad, but you didn't want callbacks?
You didn't want real...
Fucking Netflix it, you asshole!
Yeah.
You know?
I don't... Obviously, they're virgins and they don't get it.
Yeah.
During Rocky Horror time, me and Josh and Ken and Susan and Luke got the fun of transferring me and Josh and, by this time, Luke's room from one part of the hotel to the other because they decided to put the pregnant lady right next door to the loudest party in the whole... Literally right next door to literally the loudest party in the hotel. And even though I had scrounged up some earplugs, I realized when I got over there that it was not going to be enough. So we had to get the hotel to transfer us. So
yeah.
Bad and stupid planning on either the hotel's part or, I don't know.
So after that, me and...
then I went to bed.
Yeah, and then me and... I grabbed my pimp outfit, and me and Ian were running around the hotel trying to find places to film. And there's certain convention environments where, like, if we were at MarsCon and trying to film stuff like that, people, I think, would just generally kind of, you know, do their thing and realize, like, oh, they just want us, you know... They're filming their thing. We don't need to be involved. They just need us as background scenery because we're at a con and they're filming a thing about a con.
Yeah.
I think most of the people at MarsCon would be that way. But at Con on the Cob, it's like everybody had to stop and start talking to us or like kind of being like, hey, why don't you film me for your video? And then it's like, no, just fucking leave us alone. Speaking, we're trying to get something done here.
Speaking of stupid drunk guy stuff, that reminds me when I was... When we had all of our suitcases on a rolly cart and we're leaving the room next door to the party room and a bunch of people are standing out in the hallway partying, somebody's like, why is she leaving? And somebody else is like, she can't sleep. And then some guy goes, she should be drinking. And at this point I screamed, I'm pregnant! Because, you know, I was not in a good mood at that point. Someone else had tried to come in our room and they're like, is this the open gaming room? They tried to come into our sleeping, supposedly, hotel room.
Yeah, I was halfway down the hallway, and I heard you yell, I'm pregnant, so...
Yeah. it would have been hard to not hear that.
Yeah. So, you know, after, you know, dealing with a bunch of...
I don't drink anyways, but that's not the point.
After dealing with a bunch of people who, you know, kind of wouldn't leave me and Ian alone, we basically had to start roaming around the hotel trying to find hallways we could film in where we wouldn't be bothered and still come up with some decent footage that he could use for a video for cosplaying fangirls. So we managed to accomplish that for the most part. And then we wandered back out to the lobby where we ran into Rob and Shoebox and Jace and Linda and Steve Goody, who were hanging out at the bar. Uh-huh. So they're all like, oh, let's all go back to, you know, Rob's room and hang out and talk. So we did that and, you know, stayed up late talking, and it was nice, you know, being social. I think I went to bed about 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, luckily, so. Josh and I had earplugs shoved in our ears just in case we never heard you come in.
So then Sunday,
and you had Mickey pajamas.
Yes, and you know what? Sarah got me those pajamas.
Sarah was the one. Sarah, oh my God, you look like such a 5-year-old. Oh God, it was so funny.
And I wear them fairly frequently. I'm surprised
that
you
doesn't
hadn't
surprise
seen them before.
Me. Well, you know. I don't room with you that often.
So yeah, Sunday began with Derwood Bowen, and he performed.
Again, there's Tasty Breakfast Buffet.
Oh yeah, there's Tasty Breakfast Buffet. That goes without saying.
Yes.
But yeah, Derwood did his show. And he has a song that's about an episode of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Actually, no, wait, I stand corrected. There was a cartoon that came after that based on the video game Super Mario Brothers 3, but when Super Mario World came out, like, that ended up being a part of the Super Mario Brothers 3 cartoon. I guess that's the way it worked on NBC at the time. Whatever. The point is, there was an episode that had to do with Luigi and Yoshi and something or other, so... he did a parody of that. He did a parody of some modern pop song about that episode that had to do with Luigi. So
that's
he had
very
this,
obscure.
So he, yeah, it's probably the one of the most obscure things a song could be about ever. And he bought a Luigi hat for that song, which he wore the entire weekend, pretty much. But yeah, so he did his show, and then after that was Carrie Dalby.
Yes.
So, do you want to talk about your show?
Well, I had a lot of negativity last year at Con on the Cob, and a lot of it had to do with Josh not being with me, but it was also because I didn't sell anything, you know, which I guess I shouldn't really expect to, but I didn't. And then this year I'd already sold something by the time I showed up, so that made me feel better. I made $23. And, but also, additionally, I felt like my show last year was like the most boring thing on planet Earth, and everybody just wanted, you know, pillows and blankies so they could nap. So, you know, I wanted to, like, liven up my show and make it more interesting. So, to do that, I had to have less of the same old, same old. So it ended up being three songs that of mine that were not out last year, which includes Thor's Big Silver Hammer, Jabba Jive, and my new song, which will hopefully, if things go well, and if nobody already jumped on that slot, will hopefully be up on the Fump this upcoming Sunday. And that was how that song I closed the show with Carla Ulbrich on guitar. And that went over really well. And
I filmed it on my phone, so
I had intended to do a fourth older song of mine, but that didn't work out. And I also did three cover songs. I did Virus Alert by Weird Al Yankovic. I did and that was my first one. The last one I did was Fondled by the TSA by Jeff Rubin, which I really wanted to do once I heard the original on the radio one time. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is a chick singing. Dude, you know, and then
yeah. It
made me, because I really enjoy the lyrics of that song, and so it made me want to perform it. But my middle cover song was I'm Gonna Procreate by Worm Quartet, and that even more so than my new song, went over hugely with the crowd. It helped that, Shoebox got on stage and did the
the spermy dance.
The spermy dance with the microphone, where he makes the microphone look like a dancing sperm. But also, people seem to really enjoy my impressions of him during the instrumental breaks, where I'm... They wanted me to prance, but I didn't stop the song to say, do you really want a pregnant woman jumping? You know, let's not have my water break here, thanks. But, I didn't prance per se, but I bopped around and, like, you know, did the facial expressions, and I pretended to play violin with my hair at one point, which is now long enough to do so, and... You know, I didn't really change the lyrics because, you know, Shoebox wondered if I would change them to make them from a woman's perspective, but there's way too many lyrics about, you know, sperms and penises and stuff like that too. It's just, there would have been way too much to change. So I just said, pretend I have a penis. And during my show, I was wearing my maternity shirt that says Geek Inside down by my belly. And, yeah, so that was that.
Yeah, it was an awesome, fun show. So, I think there seemed to be a decent number of people in the audience who had never seen you perform.
Yeah, we totally are doing the 45-minute version.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I think we're 37 minutes in.
We're at the second to last act, which was Cirque du So What. I think we did a decent show. We did mostly stuff from Stupid Cowboy Thing.
I was in it.
You were in it doing parts that you had on the album, and
we did not do Staying Fat.
We didn't do Staying Fat. It would. I don't know. Devo was the person who I think came up with the overall list of what sketches we should do, and there were a couple changes. But we are also trying to work in some sketches that are in Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 2, so that we had at least a couple things in there that nobody in the audience had heard yet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, Josh lost his shit during the one where the liberal meets the conservative.
Yeah. It's one of the short ones, but it's really good.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, there was another new one, which we closed the show with, that I wrote, and I was really proud of it. And the audience really seemed to get into it and kind of understand what the joke of the piece was, and it got a lot of laughs, so I was really happy about that.
And before that, we did...
I don't want to give it away too much, but we did Elevator.
Yes.
And it was performed in a really unique way.
Yes.
And the crowd really seemed to dig seeing the piece performed in that manner. Yes. Especially Carla Ulbricht. She seemed particularly tickled by the context in which that, you know,
yes,
that material was presented. But yeah.
And that was the last act, and then there was
the Dementia All-Star All Request thingy for whoever's left.
And that was another thing that I felt negative about last year, that nobody wanted to hear my songs. But this year I got requests from Luke Ski and one from Derwood Bowen, and also, you know, Ian was like, nobody's going to request anything of mine. So I requested We're All Gonna Die, and I'm just like, you know, let's face it, most of the people in the room are artists anyways, so let's just request songs from each other. Yeah. And I requested a song from Rob Balder, so he performed... what's still my favorite song of his, Sympathy for George Lucas, and I guess that might be the last time he hits this... That might be the last song he hits the stage with as a dementia artist.
Well, I don't think Rob intends to... I mean, this is... Okay, I'm not representing Rob Balder in any way here. This is just me making a guess. He's still going to be going around to cons promoting Earthworld.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to be crossing paths with us fairly regularly, and he could probably be talked into, like, hey, come here, do a song, you know... We love you, Rob. We want to see you perform. Because people do love seeing him perform.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think he's going
to... Does this mean there's no party bus, no party Rob at MarsCon?
I mean,
I'm not going to be there anyways.
I assume it means no bus, but I don't think it necessarily assumes that Rob won't show up. I need to talk to people and start planning things for MarsCon. But,
okay,
you know, I think the part of the reason he's... well, anyway, I shouldn't talk about this on the podcast, but... Just, yeah, I'm assuming he's not going to do the bus, because, you know, it's, you know, once he just spent a bunch of money on the Logans, and now to turn around and spend more on the bus again.
Speaking of spending money on the Logans, is he still going to spend money on the Logans?
I don't know.
Because I don't know how else those awards are going to exist.
Well, you know, maybe a Kickstarter. I don't know. I think it's going to be... Whoever he picks to be the next chair for next year, which he isn't going to pick until January, because he needs to see who all will have put
doesn't
out.
Does and more importantly doesn't release an album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that about wraps it up. You know, that all went well, and then we all went to Chili's and had a nice big dinner at a big long table.
And I stood the majority of the time.
And then we went home, but, you know, we all had a great time. A lot of great shows, happened, you know, fun was had.
And someone booted Josh's car at the city of Chicago booted our car at the airport. Cause Josh tries to play the system by, you know, not paying parking tickets, you know, in a strategic manner, but it wasn't strategic enough. Pay your parking tickets.
All right, so I guess we'll throw in another song break here, and then we'll have News of the Stupid. So here we go.
Hello there, and welcome to my jungle. The safari is ready to depart into the heart of darkness. Even the natives wish us bon appetit, as they say.
Get down, get down. Get down, get down. Get down, 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 get down. Jungle Boogie,
Jungle
Jungle Boogie, get down. Rakasake. Good Lord, Jungle Boogie now. Get it on. And now, we stop our journey and observe the local tribal custom. The villagers have selected me to take part in their ritual of manhood. Before your very eyes, I will fling my body amidst the red-hot Pop-Tarts. Rise and perform dance of manhood before idol of ancient god Burgi. No! No, it's the wrong song. It's too uncivilized. I don't know the steps. Come on, boys. You make funny joke. Well, now, my moment has come. You will please excuse me and use your Nopez strips to great extravagance as I perform the ritual. No more. I'm going home. Jungle Boogie. To the city, Jungle Boogie, Jungle now. Boogie. And Rakasake to you. I don't care. I'm Jungle sick and Boogie. Tired of these tsetse flies. Ah, yes. I can see it now. The skyline coming to me over the ocean waves. Concrete. Glass. Rubbish. Litter. Humanity! Good Lord! It's wonderful! It's so wonderful!
And now it's time for...
By Debo Spice, visit DeboSpice.com, reported by the internet from all over the world, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate.
All of our stories this week were submitted by Kyle Hudson. Common sense tips for criminals number one, don't return to the scene of the crime. Unlike Anthony Gorman, whose attempted armed robbery was foiled by a brave shopkeeper. He could at least be happy he made his escape without being apprehended. He was dragged around the store by the clerk and had his gun and hoodie-style jacket taken and was chased off empty-handed. But stunningly, the 21-year-old returned minutes later to politely beg for his favorite $200 coat back. Surprised shopkeeper Michael Singh, who had been meditating when the raid happened, simply turned to his attacker and asked, "Are you stupid?" Mr. Singh, who moments earlier had a gun pointed at his neck by Gorman, added, "No, you can't have it. Get out." It only gets worse for Gorman. Without his disguise, the shopkeeper in Longsight, Manchester, England, recognized him, and he was arrested the same day. He was jailed for 4.5 years after admitting aggravated burglary and possession of an imitation firearm. Mr. Singh said, "I just cannot believe anyone would be so stupid as to ask for his coat back after bungling a robbery. He should have just cut his losses and run." He even said, "Please." Passing sentence Judge Martin Steiger said, "This was hardly a professionally executed offense."
Common sense tips for criminals number two. If you have a device permanently affixed to your body that sends a continuous electronic signal to the authorities telling them your location 24 hours a day, do not go around committing crimes like armed robbery. Unlike Malcolm Timel Dukes, 16, who was charged with attempted robbery, and conspiracy into robberies. Dukes was on electronic monitoring after being released from jail on bond for a prior robbery in 2011. Police said the first robbery happened at 1:24 p.m. Saturday. They said Dukes and the juvenile approached a victim and demanded his electronics equipment. The robbers got away, police said, but the victim noticed that his assailant was wearing an electronic monitoring ankle bracelet. Less than an hour later, Dukes and the other juvenile pointed a gun at another victim and demanded money. The suspects fled without getting anything, but again, the victim told officers that one of the assailants was wearing an electronic monitoring bracelet. Police began tracking Dukes and said they arrested him and the other suspect without incident.
Common sense tips for criminals number 3. Get a good night's sleep before going on your crime spree, unlike this 35-year-old man in Wichita, Kansas, who broke into a house one afternoon and began collecting items he planned to steal. While he was there, however, he found the opportunity for a hot shower and a nap in a nice bed too much to resist. He was still asleep when the couple that lives at the house returned home at about 5 p.m. The couple found the intruder in the bedroom frantically trying to pull on clothes owned by the husband. They called 911, and officers found the burglar hiding in a closet. The man was booked into the Sedgwick County Jail. No reports have been made on whether the house contained servings of porridge and if those servings were too hot, too cold, or just right.
Common sense tips for criminals number 4. Get a full meal before going on your crime spree. Unlike the man in this story, which took place just 2.5 miles from my house at a business that I have frequented. A man was caught cooking on the scene of the crime when he was arrested on a felony burglary charge for breaking into a suburban Chicago fast food restaurant. According to police who viewed surveillance footage, 19-year-old Jaime Gomez damaged and entered through the drive-thru window at Mr. Beef and Pizza in Mount Prospect, Illinois, before he damaged a cash register, poured himself a soda, and began to prepare chicken tenders and french fries using a microwave. Gomez took his clothes off before climbing through the drive-thru window because apparently he wanted his chicken naked style. Officers arrived at the restaurant and found Gomez in the midst of making his late-night meal. Gomez's bond has been set at $5,000. He is scheduled to appear in court September 21st. There is not any indication that Gomez was drunk or under the influence of any drugs at the time of the crime, but it's apparent he did have the munchies.
Common sense tips for criminals number 5. If you are meeting up with someone for a drug deal, keep your kids at home. However, if you can't find anyone to watch your kids and you must bring them, then leave them in the car, but be sure to take your firearms with you. Unlike Shayla Sutherland, age 28, who loaded her 2 children, ages 3 and 5, into a blue Chrysler Town & Country minivan, who went into the Rite Aid drugstore parking lot for some prescription medication. Because if you're going to illegally sell prescription drugs, the best place to do it is in a drugstore parking lot. While negotiating the sale of the drugs, the 2 preschoolers began playing with the loaded 12-gauge shotgun Shayla left in the car with them and blew a hole through the roof of the minivan. No one was hurt, but a passerby heard the gunshot and called police. An officer found 2 uncooperative adults and learned that a 3rd had fled, according to a Cobb County Police Department report of the September 6th incident. The 3 adults, all Marietta residents, were arrested. The children were told that they should play with pixie sticks, not boomsticks.
Common sense tips for criminals number 6. Don't masturbate in the Family Dollar store. Unlike the man in this story, headline, man accused of masturbating in Family Dollar store. Bail is set at $5,000 for 44-year-old Scott Phillips of Watertown, New York, who was accused of masturbating inside the Family Dollar store. He was charged with unlawful possession of marijuana and public lewdness for masturbating inside the Family Dollar store.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Don't masturbate in the Family Dollar store!
This has been News of the Stupid. But what if you have a fetish for cheaply made imported goods?
It's still against the law. So,
sweatshop made.
Yes. Should we just go straight into what's Luke plugging now?
Yeah, I don't think we had any other segments to do.
Okay, other than talking to Sarah, so... sounds like she's eating, so...
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's Luke plugging now?
Oh, yeah!
What's at the Fump? What's at that Fump?
Zombies.
Okay.
We watched a zombie thing. Anyway.
Skeksis back by the great Luke Ski... The Other Side by Ukla the Mock, Banana Bunch by TV's Kyle, Burn by Tony Goldmark, We Set the Dog on Fire by RobertLondonSpaff.com, A Well-Dressed Hobbit by Mark Gunn, Romeo Response to Taylor Swift by Money Shot Cosmonauts, and Starstruck by Jesse Smith.
All right. Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 1, Grandmother, is a CD you can get at thefump.com by Cirque du So What. You can also get Be Amused by Me, which is, by me, Luke Ski. You can get that at lukeski.com.
The Dr. Demento Show is still the awesomest show ever. You should totally listen to it. And please request the song Snoopy the Dog by me over at Dr. Demento's website, drdemento.com/request. It would mean the world to me if once a week you would go and request that song and then listen to his show. I'm hoping I'll end up number one for the top 10 for October, which won't be played until the first week of November because of the Halloween episodes. So I have to wait an extra week to find out.
Oh, no.
And by the way, Dr. Demento started a blog. He's going to be putting a blog up about once a week, answering fan questions and stuff. So he's put up 2 entries thus far. So, you know, check it out.
Long day.
Very long.
Hi, Sarah.
Sarah is here.
Yeah,
she has alcohol.
God.
Tour dates. I have Nerd Pow happening in Columbus, Ohio, October 28th through 30th. My performance is on Friday the 28th at 7 p.m. Nerdpow.com. Dual Core is going to be there. A bunch of Nerdcore guys. Lots of video games and cool stuff. So check that out. It's at the same place where MarCon happens, the Hyatt and Convention Center downtown. Contra Flow is in Gretna, Louisiana, which is basically New Orleans. It is November 4th through 6th. It's ContraFlowSciFi.org is their website. That's FLOW, ContraFlowSciFi.org. Then WindyCon in Lombard, Illinois.
And I'll be there just as much as you will.
Yes. November 11th through 13th at noon on Sunday the 13th, there'll be a 2-hour FUMP concert. And I'll be performing there, as will Carrie, Tom Smith, Possible Oscar, and maybe some others, depending on who else from the FUMP shows up. So, WindyCon.org for that. Oh, I should...
I'm also have a... Or were you going to say another tour date?
I was just going to mention, because I got a reminder the other day that... MarsCon pre-regs at the end of October.
Oh.
Like they're $35 now. After October 31st, once it's November 1st, it'll be like $45.
That reminds me. Friday is the last date of pre-reg for WindyCon.
Should probably do that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
At like 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November 29th, you can come to Northeastern Illinois University and see me in a university chorus concert, and I have a small solo in it.
Cool.
So that's my tour date.
Cool. And then, of course, there's artbylukeski.com, where you can hire me to draw parties or draw at parties.
Or draw parties.
Yeah, you could draw a party.
I have drawn parties before.
If you feel guilty that you've never had a party to hire him for, you could just pay him to draw a picture of a party.
And then the caption would be, having a party, yeah.
Okay.
To be a flat 29 reference.
Yay.
What shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie Dalby?
Oh, I'm wearing this Fight Like a Girl... breast cancer awareness t-shirt. So touch your boobies once a month. If the pregnant lady can do it, then you can do it.
Okay. So speaking of pregnant ladies, you had something you wanted to talk about on the podcast with Sarah here real quick.
She looks really thrilled. Well, Josh was particularly amused by how squicked out she was about things about pregnancy that I was talking about. So
pregnancy is gross.
So I guess we have a new segment on the show. Called Pregnancy is Gross. And I had a theme song worked out in my head earlier, and I can't really remember how it went. Something to do with Fraggle Rock. Pregnancy is gross. Sarah gets squicked out by it. Pregnancy is gross. And you all get to laugh. I don't know if she'll have the energy to be as squicked out as usual, but this one is... Something that those of us childless women, I never really knew that about this, but you know how babies kick. Aww. And you feel, when you're pregnant, you feel little kicks from the inside. Well, they don't just kick your tummy. They also apparently use, the bottom part of you as a trampoline, and all of a sudden you're feeling... a kick and a throb and a jump in, like your colon, down by near your anus or like near your vagina or stuff like that.
No, I didn't know about that, actually.
I didn't know about that. Yeah. I found out today when my baby boy started to do it. I was like, Oh, I'm a trampoline now.
Yeah. Well, I knew about that, and that's why when people are like, do you want to feel the baby? I'm like, no. No, I don't want to feel the baby. It's terrifying. Disgusting.
Well, when I, you know, when we get closer to the end of my pregnancy, you should be able to see the baby.
Also creepy. I have seen that, where they're like, there's like a hand like pushing out the side of you.
Yeah, I saw an image of that online. I'm wondering if it might have been slightly photoshopped, because I'm not sure if you really can see the shape of a hand. You really can.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. It's very aliens-y. I mean, they really didn't have to stretch too far to come up with that concept.
Yeah, no, I noticed that my baby boy looks like an alien on Monday, but I, for a long story that I'm not going to go into, I also ended up having another ultrasound yesterday, so 2 days in a row, where a different ultrasound person using a different ultrasound machine reconfirmed my baby boy's maleness, and also I thought he was cuter that time, and he liked to put his little hands up by his face and be all like, look, my hands are by my face.
Maybe he's just saying, don't look at me!
And he apparently like flipped literally 20 times during the course of one ultrasound. He just flipped positions, and he's supposedly approximately a pound now already.
So. A pound of goo.
So in March I will give, as Josh noted, in March I will give birth to a pleasant substance dispenser. Or unpleasant substance dispenser. Or pleasant, if you want to do the sarcasm route. Yeah. Okay, so you had an ignorant story.
Yes, so a woman who was, I guess, the mother of a family of a bunch of kids or whatever, like, you know, looks at my sign and, you know, basically sees what my prices are. And then she comes to me and she basically attempts to talk me into doing, like, you know, four kids with bodies in color on one page, which is an $80 drawing. Mm-hmm. She literally tried to talk me into doing that type of a drawing for $25.
Really?
And she kept, and it wasn't even like I said no, and she's like, she could.
Because it only took one piece of paper?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that kind of, you know, logic that the customers always try to use on me to, you know. So she's like, well, come on. And I'm like, no, it's literally an $80 drawing. You know, I can't spend that much time and only get $25 on this piece of work. So, you know, then it was like, you know, I'm like, well, I could do, you know, anyway, I had to kind of negotiate with her down to what, figuring out what exactly she wanted me to get. Ended up doing just like a two-person black and white drawing that was worth $10. So, you know, and so after all that talking me down to try to get a $25, she gets a $10 drawing, pays me with a $100 bill. It's like, you fucking bitch! You fucking had money! Oh! It's like, nice. I just wanted to hold it there and go, seriously? You had this much cash on you, and ugh, fucking, No discounts for anyone! Fuck all of you people! Anyway. So yeah, that's my lone, you know, I
Luke is pleasant.
Yes.
Pleasant.
Hey, speaking of pleasant, how about some comments? So here, you can read this first comment.
Blasted Bill says, First! Sorry, I've just never actually been the first to comment on a bad report. Luke, here's what you need to do. Write down a list of all the items that you want, preferably even make and model, for your mobile sound / video system. Give me / Chris M. the list. We will price out said items and give you an amount you need to hit. Then you put it up for a Kickstarter for that amount, and we all help you pay for it! !! Also, tell us more details about this cantina bar if you can. I totally want to make an outing there.
Well, I think the gathering of helpful information and prices and Kickstarter, I think that's all a very good idea. And I will most likely start, you know, looking into that, you know, in the near future.
Bill has a brain. We like Bill's brain.
And the sound system that was used at Con the Cob is actually Shoebox's. He bought that.
Yeah.
It was only a few $100 apparently with the two speakers and the middle thing that all click together in one carryable thing. These stands that you put the speakers
on. That's a nice sound system.
Yeah, the stands that the speakers were on actually cost extra, but, you know, that's, you know. Anyway, basically, I want a system like that, and I want to look into the whole video projection thing with a screen as well, so that I can start doing multimedia shows at cons. So, more on that later. And I haven't gotten contacted by that lady yet who said she owned the her husband owned the cantina bar.
Yeah, so have any more details to share.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll hear from her.
Maybe
at some
Google
point.
It, and maybe you'll find it that way.
Yeah. Slightly D says, here's the link to Tales from the Con Floor, and then it's talesfromtheconfloor.com. And the interview is up, so if you'd like to hear me interviewed on Tales from the Con Floor, go there. I also put the link up at my website.
Because just what you needed is more Luke in your ear holes.
Yes.
I'll pass.
Wannabe Stormy says, hi, Luke and Carrie. Love the show. It works wonders at work. Listen to you wonderful people talk about life et al. Makes my work go by so much easier. Thank you both for your time, talent, and terrificosity. Just wanted to thank you for making my days in the frozen wasteland of Alberta that much better.
Aww. Another Canadian fan.
Yay, Canadians.
Now that makes me want to play that song from Avenue Q.
We'll write it down on the board.
Okay.
Arkel says, whoops, didn't realize I said the name of the Zombie Cop book twice. My bad.
Okay.
In the last episode when he was... And we don't have any voicemails.
And I forgot the name of the book. I just remembered that I liked it. Well, then, if we don't have any voicemails, does that mean the show is over?
Almost. Yeah, we don't have any new iTunes reviews either. So if you would like to make a comment, you can do so at badreport.com. If you want to leave a voicemail, you can call 916-585-3754. That's 916-LukeSki, 916-585-3754. Or you can go to iTunes and leave us a review and a star rating, hopefully positive and 5 stars, hopefully. So, yeah, that's about
it. Or if you're going to be negative about it, go all the way and really rip us. We like that. Our egos... totally take it.
She's lying. Just in case you didn't figure it out.
Luke is like, I'm going to edit this out later.
So, yeah, I guess that's about it.
Words, English.
Words.
I expect that from me right now because I've just worked a full day and ran for a train. I don't know what your excuse is.
He got too much sleep today and watched too many shows.
Life is hard when you're Luke.
I mowed the lawn yesterday.
Yesterday.
And did a leaf blower when...
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yes.
Right.
We're not impressed. Just in case you couldn't tell.
Okay. There's going to be another segment of the show that I'll be recording in about 45 minutes with TV's Kyle.
So this might be our longest show ever.
I don't think so.
I think it's a definite contender.
Yeah.
Well, not counting Transformers.
Basically, the reason why we're doing it is because on the Fumpcast, Kyle and I have a segment called Kyle and Luke Talk About Cartoons. And
Devo downloads porn.
Yes.
And, so you'll have to replace Devo's name with Carrie.
Yes. So the last time we did this segment, we kind of got interrupted and weren't able to completely talk about the thing that me and Kyle wanted to talk about. So Kyle suggested, why don't we record a short bit for this podcast so that we can, kind of cap off, you know, what he and I felt like talking about. So
this is going to be a 3-hour episode.
No, it's not.
It seriously is.
Okay, seriously, it's...
Okay.
All right. So that's the end of the segment. So until next time, I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie, and I'm less annoyed than Luke.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, I wish you could meet my girlfriend who lives in Canada. She couldn't be sweeter. I wish you could meet her, my girlfriend who lives in Canada. Her name is Alberta. She lives in Vancouver. She cooks like my mother and sucks like a Hoover. I email her every single day just to make sure that everything's okay. It's a pity she lives so far away in Canada. Last week she was here, but she had the flu. Too bad, 'cause I wanted to introduce her to you. It's so sad, there wasn't a thing that she could do but stay in bed with her legs up over her head. Oh! I wish you could meet my girlfriend. but you can't because she is in Canada. I love her, I miss her, I can't wait to kiss her. So soon I'll be off to Alberta. I mean Vancouver. Shit, her name is Alberta. She lives in Vancouver. She's my girlfriend, my wonderful girlfriend. Yes, I have a girlfriend who lives in Canada. And I can't wait to eat her pussy again.
Bringing Skeksis back. Those mystic creatures don't know how to act. I think their prophecy is kind of whack. I'll take them out with one Gotham attack. Trial by stone, Podling Bay.
Ogre.
You see those shackles, baby, you're my slave.
Ogre.
Your vital essence is the drink I crave.
Ogre.
That little furball Fizzgig needs a shave. Give me that shard when single shine.
What's it for, Gelfling?
The triple sun.
What's it for, Gelfling?
What was thundered.
What's it for, Gelfling?
And undone.
What's it for, Gelfling?
Shall be whole.
What's it for, Gelfling?
The two made one.
What's it for, Gelfling?
By Gelfling hand.
What's it for, Gelfling?
Or else by none.
What's it for, Gelfling?
Down in Fraggle Rock.
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 Kick back, spithead!
I hate your whimper!
Tips of an alien sorcerer approaching from the sky. Radio contact has been attempted but cannot be established. Instructions are to prepare for an attack by an unknown.
I'm on my way to a house party.
I thought in the dark.
And bitches got me listening to Coldplay.
I thought in the dark.
Bitches got me pasta rigatoni.
A rigatoni, rigatoni.
Bitches come and see me with their tortellini.
A tortellini, tortellini.
And you'll pass the cold clay and eat the cold pasta. We out.
And now it's time for Kyle and Luke talk about cartoons. We're not sure what Devo is doing, but we're going to talk about cartoons. So how are you, Kyle?
I'm good. I just got back from work. John Barry, the guy I do Frog Raccoon Strawberry with, is visiting this week, and you know he's working on the same project I am. So you know, normally he's in Utah, but for the next 2 weeks, he is here.
Cool, cool.
Right now, he's making me a meatloaf, and that's pretty awesome.
So we were having our usual cartoon discussion on the Fumpcast, and I had mentioned that you finally got around to seeing the movie Tangled and that you liked it a lot. So
Yes, I did. Okay, so let me start from what is the beginning for me. So, yeah, Tangled. I saw all the trailers and I thought they looked just terrible. I thought in particular they made
Rapunzel.
You know, well, that was the problem. I thought she was mute. Like, from all the trailers, I had no idea that she spoke. But I just thought they made Flynn seem like a really unappealing character in that. And so the combination of that and the amount that I disliked Princess and the Frog, I was, you know, all right, no, this is – I can't – I'm not going to go and see this. And so, you know, then the movie comes out and, you know, a lot of people seem to – like it, but you know, the same thing happened with me and Frog Princess. I'm like, all right, well, everybody told me that was going to be good, and I saw it and I just despised it. And then, you know, finally it's out on DVD. Far too many people have told me to see this. I see it and I like it. And like so many things, actually kind of similarly to Megamind, I saw it, I thought it was pretty good, and then the more I thought about it, the more I liked it. Like days later, I'm like, okay, with both movies, I thought they had like obvious flaws, and then a day later, I didn't care about them.
Well, but before we get too into Tangled, I am curious what you disliked about The Princess and the Frog.
I wish I was like had. I wish we had had this conversation more freshly after I had seen it. But there are certain things that bother me a lot about it. I thought that the character's goal didn't make sense at all, to like have a goal of opening this restaurant that she wouldn't have been able to go to. Like, she was never under the circumstance when she was young to even be at that restaurant. Yet that's the kind of restaurant she wants to open. I kind of thought that they should have ended up frogs at the end. I don't know. I thought they should have stayed that way. I thought that's where the message was going. There were just a whole lot of unclear messages. But I won't say that I walked away with it being completely negative. I will say that I think Charlotte is one of the most interesting characters Disney had used in a long time. Because, you know, she was kind of rich and ridiculous, but she wasn't, you know, a terrible person. She was actually a helpful character. She wanted to help her friend out. She wasn't just some bitch.
Yeah, it would have been totally cliched to make it like, you know, I'm the rich white girl and I'm going to act snotty and demeaning to everybody around me because my daddy has money, you know, and it was totally, you know, not that way. They were actually friends, and that was pretty cool. I watched the movie with the commentary, and I guess the lead animator on Charlotte was also the lead animator on Hades.
That makes a lot of sense.
And I think also Jafar, like he had done villains, but he wanted to do, you know, one of the good guy characters for once. So he did.
Was
Charlotte.
It Nick Ranieri?
I can't remember. It's been so long since.
Because if it was, then he would have handled Llama Cusco as well. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing, the I guess my main problem with Princess and the Frog, if I really have one, is as well respected as Randy Newman is, I just don't think his music clicked. The song I love that he did in that movie was the Dr. Facilier's song "Friends on the Other Side." I loved that, but like I just kind of felt like overall it's like the songs from Princess and the Frog, you know, aren't gonna, you know, they don't hold up against to all of the, you know, Ashman and Mencken and Elton John and, you know, all the others. Even the songs from, like, you know, Hercules are more catchy in my mind, you know, than the Randy Newman stuff. But, you know, it's all in all, I was just so happy to, you know, see a beautifully created hand-drawn animated film again that, you know, it's one of those drinking the Kool-Aid situations where I was basically, you know, just loving it. See, that's the thing. It's like the new Muppets movie is coming out, and even if the rest of the world doesn't like it, I'm going to love it because it's a new Muppets movie. And I know that makes my opinion value less in everyone who listens to me talk, but I'm sorry. I just can't help being me. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic.
Know that about me. I, in general, you know, try to, you know, there are a lot of people who are just flat out animation snobs, and I can sort of wander into that territory, but I do try to give the things I see a fair chance, and sometimes I'm surprised.
So
and this is one of those cases.
Yeah, so basically from what I've been led to understand, Tangled was in the works when Princess and the Frog was released. And I guess Disney was, you know, crossing their fingers and hoping that everyone who grew up with The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast, you know, who are parents now, were all going to immediately rush out and see the new hand-drawn animated princess-related feature, which basically didn't happen. I mean, the movie wasn't a flop, but it certainly didn't do anywhere near the numbers they were hoping it was going to do. It makes me happy because when I draw caricatures and I have my book of suggestions now, I actually get a lot of girls who ask to be drawn as Tiana. So to me, it's good to know that, you know, the little kid girl audience that, you know, should have liked that movie seemed to like that movie. But anyway, the point is, it didn't do the huge numbers Disney was hoping it was going to do. So at that point, they kind of panicked and they kind of, you know, put a halt to, you know, where they were in the course of the Rapunzel movie, and they decided to retool it and try to make the Flynn Rider character, you know, have it be, you know, just as much a story about his character and stuff, and then change the title to Tangled. And then, you know, since it was a CG film, you know, try to make it seem more like, you know, the DreamWorks movies than another Disney movie, you know, so that they could try to get people in the theater to see it. So, you know, I mean, overall, I liked Tangled. I thought it was, you know, great. I loved the music in it. especially the I Had a Dream song. I thought that sequence was wonderful. You know, so yeah, it made me happy to see you on Facebook saying that you liked the film.
Yeah, there were you weren't the only person telling me feverishly to tell this movie, and so yeah, I posted that on there expecting just the fiendish I told you so's, which I did get one from one friend, but not from you.
I basically was like, you know, by the time I got to the thread, there was someone who had commented. I believe my comment was, great, now you all have to go and watch Meet the Robinsons and write a 3-page paper on why getting a Tyrannosaurus Rex to seize a child is a bad idea, or something to that effect. So,
yeah.
Have you seen Meet the Robinsons?
I did see Meet the Robinsons, which I liked but didn't love. I did love Bowler Hat Guy.
Yeah.
Because especially at the time, nobody had really done anything that looked like that in CG before.
So, yeah. Sarah told me recently that there's a lot of the Disney films made, you know, post Lion King that she hasn't even seen yet. So I'd like to sit down and, you know, show her some of those. I know.
Actually, that was one kind of neat thing, seeing how ridiculously well Lion King 3D did when they, you know, re-released.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it like I said on the other podcast, I don't really think it needs the 3D treatment, but 3D is the current gimmick that gets people out to the theaters to see things. So I just think it's like it's a clever ploy on Disney's part. It's like, well, I mean, cuz they could have re-released, you know, Lion King anytime they wanted. I mean, they did Beauty and the Beast on IMAX. I went and saw that, you know.
Yeah, me too.
So it's
but I mean the point is, it kind of showed that even after, you know, Princess and the Frog wasn't particularly successful, and they made no attempt to make Winnie the Pooh successful, a 2D feature, albeit a re-released one, was just number one at the box office.
Yeah. And I assume you saw Winnie the Pooh at some point?
I haven't yet. Is it, like, out on DVD yet?
I don't think it's out on DVD yet. Maybe it's...
Because, like, when it was in the theaters, it was just a busy time and I couldn't get to it.
It came out the same day as the last Harry Potter movie, so...
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it, and it was directed by Steve Anderson, who also directed Meet the Robinsons, and... Patton Oswalt tweeted that day. He apparently also saw it the day it came out, and he said something to the effect of, there is more, you know, messing with reality, cool stuff in this movie than there is in a Hunter S. Thompson novel. You know, go see this film or something like that. I was probably a different author, but he made some comment to that effect, saying, like, you know, how much he enjoyed seeing the new Winnie the Pooh. So, you know, I enjoyed it, and it had some, at least one really catchy song I liked in it. So yeah, but you know, it's, you know, it's Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I mean, I will see that when it comes out on DVD. I don't know if I would have been so quick to see it when it was in the theater, because I don't want that was an audience in which I didn't want to be the one creepy adult, as then like five children are in the audience. If it was like that was actually one of the nice things about seeing Lion King, is that it was a packed theater filled with all sorts of people, and it was kind of neat to hear like laughter in all the right places. You know, as if they hadn't seen the movie before, because a lot of these kids hadn't seen the movie before. A lot of the adults hadn't seen it probably, you know, since they were a kid watching it.
Yeah.
But Winnie the Pooh, I don't think, unfortunately, because of the way, you know, they released it, I don't think I would have gotten that that privilege.
There were some gags in that movie that I literally laughed out loud at, like super huge laughs that was like, oh my God, that's such a funny thing. I can't believe I didn't see that joke coming. Kind of a thing, and I don't want to hint at what it is because I want you to enjoy it just as much. So, you know, I guess check on, I don't know, Netflix, or I'm sure some website somewhere will say when it's going to be out. I mean, with Christmas just around the corner, I'd assume they're going to get it out before then. So yeah. Anything else nifty you feel like talking about?
Let's see. We already covered Wreck-It Ralph on a different show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's all I wanted to get out.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, and we'll see you on the Fumpcast again probably in a few weeks.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. L-I-C-K-U-R-L-O-U-S.
Mousey. These words spell Mickey Mouse. All the drinks are on the house. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. These words spell Mickey Mouse. All the drinks are on the house. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. C-A-S-P-E-R-G-H-O-S-T. C-A-S-P-E-R-G-H-O-S-T. Casper the friendly ghost. To the case he's the most. C-A-S-P-E-R-G-H-O-S-T. Casper the friendly ghost. To the kitties he's the most. C-A-S-P-E-R-G-H-O-S-T. B-O-T-A-T-O-C-H-I-P-S. Feed your kids potato chips. Watch them smack their little lips. B-O-T-A-T-O-C-H-I-P-S.
Listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
It's the great Luke Ski. Be amused by him!
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.